is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello, everybody. Good Monday afternoon, and welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio here at One Bills Drive, front end of the Ad Pro Sports Training Center, here until 3 p.m. today to talk Bills football, NFL football. This is the week stuff. Actually, Donald, stuff started Friday evening.
It did.
Where were you, on the plane when you got there? I was.
I was on the plane, and stuff has started. It started Friday evening, but I think it's about to open up now. It starts, what, at 12, which, you know, it's 12:01 now. So I think it's about to get going here. You're going to hear a lot of different things around the league come out. Show me the money. Back up the Brinks truck.
Spoken like a true former player. But that's where we're at. That's what the NFL schedule is all about, starting right now, 12 noon. This is when the legal tampering period, the contact period, begins around the National Football League. No visits with players yet. That can't happen until Wednesday. No actual contact players with teams, legal. But you can contact agents, and teams can let agents know what ballpark they're in when it comes to some of these free agents. And that just started a minute and 45 seconds ago as the NFL schedule moves along. The Bills got the jump. We talked about it Friday. What's the matter?
I mean, I get this tweet, you were wrong on Sherman. I don't even know what I said on Richard Sherman. I have no clue what I said on Sherman. That's what happens when you talk on air for 3 hours. You might say something you totally forgot you said.
We don't even know what we said on Sherman. I'll tell you what we were right on, though. I feel confident saying this. We talked Friday about how there were trades happening. Trades were taking precedence over the start of free agency. And one of us, I think it was me, you agreed, said the Buffalo Bills are going to make moves over the weekend. They certainly did Friday at 6:30 or so.
I think I put the bug in your ear in the office. And then you were like, you know what? I like that.
It happened. Tyrod Taylor traded away.
It did. It was a shock. It was a little bit of a shock. You know, I figured something was going to happen. I thought I didn't think he would get traded until closer to the draft, though. You know, I thought they were going to end up picking up that option and then they would trade him closer to the draft. But I guess they said, forget that option. We're trying to make something happen right now. And I tell you what was a shock to me was the third round. The third rounder for Tyrod. Yeah, first pick, third round. That's pretty early. I didn't think that he would have that type of value out there. So, you know, either Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are some master negotiators, or people really feel like Tyrod Taylor is a starter in this league.
Well, the Browns feel like they needed him anyway. We're going to talk a lot about what their thoughts are. In fact, Dustin Fox, former Bills defensive back, who is now a radio host in Cleveland, has been for several years. He'll be joining us an hour from now to give us the Cleveland perspective on that trade and on what's next for the Cleveland Browns. They still, even with their activity on Friday, Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor, the corner from Green Bay, the Browns still have a bushel full of draft picks to deal with on draft day. And a couple more days here in free agency, too.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get some moves here in free agency, but they still have the early draft picks to really make something happen. It's interesting to hear what's going on out there in Cleveland. You know, I think people are excited. Cleveland fans haven't really been excited for a long time out there. I think they're excited right now about just the fact that the Browns are doing something. They're doing something. They're active. And we'll see how this stuff really comes to fruition, if it really pans out. The Jarvis Landry, a Tyrod Taylor, anybody else, they brought the corner over from Green Bay. I think they should go ahead and take Saquon Barkley and then take a quarterback at number 4. That's really going to give something for the Browns fans to really be excited about. And they still got a lot of draft picks early.
But we're talking about the Bills primarily today, and we'd love to talk with you. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Our Twitter poll is up and running. Love to hear from you on that. And it deals mostly, I think, it deals with Tyrod Taylor and his legacy here in Buffalo. 3 years as a starter, 2 more wins than losses. You look back at what Tyrod did. He did a lot here, Donald. He pretty durable, didn't miss too much action. Got the Bills into the playoffs after the 17-year playoff drought, 17-season playoff drought. Won some games, didn't do what everybody wanted. You know, 31st ranked passing attack in the NFL. That's part of his legacy in Buffalo as well. Lack of fourth quarter comeback victories. That's part of his legacy. Unfortunately, I happen to think that scoring 3 points in the playoff game at Jacksonville, that's part of his legacy as well. We want to know from you, what was the most important thing about Tyrod Taylor's tenure in Buffalo? You can call us up with your thoughts on that, 803-0550 in Buffalo, outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter. That's our Twitter poll. The most important thing about Tyrod Taylor's 3-year tenure in Buffalo. 64% of you, almost two-thirds, say ending the 17-season playoff drought is number one. Mm-hmm. 25% of you say the most important thing about Tyrod Taylor's tenure was that he needed more production. You can't be 31st in passing a couple of years in a row. 8% say just didn't fit into the system. I don't know about that. He played in a couple of different systems. 3% have something else in mind. What do you have in mind? What do you think of the trade? And as you look back and 5 years from now when you talk about Tyrod Taylor, what would you discuss about Tyrod Taylor? What would you say about his 3-year tenure in Buffalo? 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What would you say, Donald? What do you think you'd say?
I hate to sound so negative, but I think you needed more production out of Tyrod Taylor, and that's in the passing game. You needed more production. That was something that you always talked about with Tyrod Taylor. You could say, yeah, he can make plays. He's improvisational. You can say all of that stuff. He made plays with his feet. He could pick up first downs. But ultimately, you needed more production out of him in the passing game, and I know a lot of people have said, well, he didn't have the wide receivers. He didn't have, you know, he's been in a bunch of different systems. I get all of that. But when you watch the film and you break down the film, you needed more production. You needed more plays to be made on the field. He left way too many plays on the field. The fact that he was the quarterback when they ended the drought, to me, that was more on, to be honest with you, that was more on this defense and the running game. You know, the fact that they were able to end the drought. I mean, let's not forget that Tyrod Taylor was benched. Mm-hmm. And then because of the game that – Nathan Peterman had, he had to go back and be the starter again, but he was benched for a reason, and that was because the offense was not, it was not producing at all. It was not even functional. I mean, you had a game where you had, what, 90 yards, and so you can't have something like that. And so for me, you just needed a lot more production, and the reason you were in the playoffs was because of the defense, especially the back end of that defense, and in the rushing game.
And he almost didn't make it to the playoff game, as you pointed out. He was benched. Mm-hmm. At 5-4, he was benched. And Peterman had such a struggle in the first half against the Chargers that he had to come in the second half. The critical game of 2017, clearly, Kansas City.
Yep.
Tyrod played okay, but it was mostly a defensive victory at Kansas City. Bills win that game and go on to win just enough down the stretch for their final six. Lost twice to the New England Patriots down the stretch. And got the big assist from Cincinnati to get into the playoffs. Now, Tyrod had a role to play in all of that. He certainly did have a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't the leader. You'd be hard pressed to say he was the leader of that playoff push, wouldn't you? I don't know if I'd say that about him.
Right. No.
And the way they finished down the stretch.
I don't think that you could really say Tyrod Taylor won us that game. Tyrod Taylor won it. Now, he made some big plays. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. But you couldn't say, man, that game was on Tyrod Taylor's shoulders. I mean, and there are obviously other quarterbacks, and I'm not just talking top-tier quarterbacks. Even the second-tier quarterbacks have had those games where you could say, man, that guy just won the game for that team. And there aren't many games, if any, that you could say that about Tyrod Taylor. You'd have a big play here or there that you would talk about, but it wasn't consistent enough. The production, especially passing the ball, just was not consistent enough. And I think that's something that people will always talk about. And that's something that we had been talking about for the last 2 years, at least while I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they can't get the passing game going. They can't get the passing game going. And I think that's something that you think about first. For me, I think about that first before I think about, well, yeah, he was the quarterback when the drought ended.
He did. Now, to be fair, and we're going to be fair about Tyrod's tenure, there were a lot of good things, and I would put right at the top of the list his leadership. He was a captain this past year. He was a leader. He was always regarded as the traditional, you know, first guy in the morning and last guy to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Always applied himself, always ready to play, never got in trouble. That was never an issue with Tyrod Taylor. Always ready to play, always you know, full command of the team, acted, I think, as a captain, as a leader, well-respected by his teammates, Donald. You'd have to say that. His teammates love Tyrod Taylor and love playing with Tyrod Taylor, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, you can never take that away from him. He has been one of the most, first of all, just a class act. Even he tweeted something out, you know, thanking the Bills organization. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was benched twice.
Yeah.
And then traded to Cleveland. And so,
and
I mean.
Renegotiated his contract twice.
Right, exactly. You know, and so he could be a guy who really could take that to heart and just say, man, forget Buffalo. They did me dirty in Buffalo. But they gave him an opportunity to be a starter. And so he understands that. He sees that. So just a class act across the board. And then the fact that he always was the first guy in, last guy out, hard worker, you know, and his teammates really rallied behind him. He was a captain. You can always say those things about Tyrod Taylor, but then it just, the production on the field didn't match up with that hard work. And so that's the, you know, that's the one thing that people are always going to talk about.
So Tyrod's tenure in Buffalo comes to an end. It will officially end on Wednesday when free agency begins. The report came out late Friday that the Bills have reached an agreement with Cleveland. Tyrod Taylor goes to the Browns to get a third-round pick, number 65 overall, first pick in the third round in return. That deal has not been consummated yet, and it cannot be consummated until free agency begins, what, 4 p.m. on Wednesday, right? 4 p.m. or noon? 4 p.m., I think it is.
I thought it was 4 p.m.
Yeah, 4 p.m. on Wednesday. That's when the trade becomes official. Not done yet. We're talking about it as if it is because the deal is in place. That gives the Bills six of the top 96 draft picks this year. Back to a second pick in the third round now. Two in the first, two in the second, two in the third. That gives them some salary cap space. They have $35.3 million in cap space for 2018. The NFL salary cap is at $177.2 million. And they, to get a third-rounder, Donald, I anticipated it'd be fourth round, fifth round, maybe, if they were able to find a trading partner for Tyrod Taylor. This is the same group that found a trading partner for Marcell Dareus, which many of us thought was going to be impossible. But they did that last October. Pretty impressive, I think, for Brandon Bean and his crew.
Yeah, these guys can negotiate, or I don't know what the deal is. They have some good relationships throughout the league or something. They got some friends. The football gods love them. Something is going on. With especially Brandon Bean, but Sean McDermott, too, as the coaches, I'm sure he's, you know, in the room and helping to make these decisions. Those guys are good at making these deals happen. And to get a third-rounder, I mean, especially you gave up a third-rounder to get, Kelvin Benjamin here. And so you lost out on that one, and now to get that one back, the first pick in the third round, that's huge for Tyrod Taylor, who, for me, I felt like – a lot of teams would view him as a backup. Now, you could have some teams that feel like he's a starter as well, and I think he's going to end up in a competition this summer out there in Cleveland as they're still going to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought teams would view him as a backup and say, all right, yeah, we'll give up a fourth or fifth rounder or even a sixth rounder. I mean, you've seen teams give up later round picks for these guys, and that really be it. So I thought they would be on that type of level with Tyrod Taylor, but you see the Browns – decided to give up a third rounder.
Your thoughts on the report of the trade of Tyrod Taylor to the Cleveland Browns? He leaves with the most rushing yards ever by a Bills quarterback in a career, 1,500-plus. Lowest interception percentage in Bills history, 1.29%. Almost uncanny. We know why, but the guy just would not throw interceptions. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another thing that people will always talk about with Tyrod Taylor. Even when the trade went down, the first things you started to see from the national reporters is this is a guy who does not turn the ball over. And so Cleveland, I'm sure, they looked at the same thing. This guy does not turn the ball over. He's not going to lose you the game. He might not be the one that will win you the game consistently, but he's definitely not going to lose you the game. And that's something that you can always say about Tyrod Taylor. Now, in the same breath, people will say, well, he didn't throw the ball
right
in the tight windows. And so that's why he didn't throw interceptions. And so, yeah, you can say that as well.
Tyrod Taylor going to be traded Wednesday to the Cleveland Browns. Your thoughts on that? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter, you can vote in our Twitter poll to let us know what you think. We're going to review a lot of Tyrod's career highlights over the next 3 hours here, and we'll talk about what it does for the Bills in terms of the draft and quarterback free agency. They might be on the phone right now to a free agent. We'll talk about that. Let's take a few phone calls, though. Izzy calling from North Carolina. Go ahead, Izzy. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
Listen, I was at the game at Jacksonville, and, I mean, it was three times specifically in that game when there was wide receivers open and he didn't throw the ball. So that's the one thing I'm going to remember about Tyrod Taylor. And as far as these quarterbacks go, I don't care. I mean, Sam Bradford, McCarron, McCown, any one of those guys would help us tremendously, I think, next year. We have six picks. Six picks is almost a football team. And the way these guys have been scouting players, I would rather us, you know, keep all our picks and pick one of these journeymen. Maybe next year or the year after, sell the farm for a quarterback.
That's interesting, Izzy. Let's talk about that. Two things. Yes, Tyrod missed open receivers. Yet I always thought, the last 2 years anyway, Donald, I thought he was late. Didn't spot receivers open until it was too late and took too long to deliver the ball. But that's not number one on my list of what Tyrod Taylor's legacy here. He's flawed as a passer. There's no question about that. I mean, they're 31st in passing for two straight years. He was tremendously flawed, and yet they found a way to win. He won two more starts than he lost as an NFL starter with the Buffalo Bills. They did it with defense sometimes. They did it with an outstanding running game most of the time. And they did it with Tyrod Taylor being a gamer, adding what he could on the ground himself.
Right.
You know, we talked about how he's the leading rusher at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in their history. So, yeah, he was tremendously flawed as a passer, and yet I give him a lot of credit for being a competitor and a gamer and a guy who was always ready to play.
Yeah, you can't take that away. You can't take away his work ethic. You can't take away his leadership. You can't take away the fact that he is a gamer, per se, and he's made some big plays within within certain games. But then people will always argue that it wasn't consistent enough, you know. And hopefully, I hope he gets another opportunity to I hope he gets the opportunity in Cleveland to be the starter. And I think he will. I think that he will have a true open competition. And who knows? He might be a gamer and take over that starting job out there with whoever they draft, which is probably going to be early in the draft. I hope he does get to start again and he can show everybody and prove everybody wrong. You know, I hope that for him. But just here, he wasn't consistent enough. Now, he did make big plays. He did bring a lot to the Bills' offense and picking up key first downs, picking up some big plays down the field, throwing the ball to Sammy early his first year here, throwing it to Charles Clay, you know, making big plays down the field with guys, picking up first downs with his legs. You can never take that stuff away from him. And I think you're going to see the same things from him out there in Cleveland.
Three offensive coordinators, right? Greg Roman, Anthony Lynn, Rick Dennison.
Mm-hmm.
At least two different offenses. You know, Lynn ran a lot of what Greg Roman ran. Two different head coaches. The receiving core in a constant state of flux. These are real. Now, this is not defensive Tyrod Taylor, because I'm glad they moved on and I love what they got. But you have to acknowledge he was up against it. On more than one occasion, he was up against it here in Buffalo. You know, this past year, the defense as solid as they were a couple of years ago, not there at all. You know, not there at all for Tyrod Taylor. Maybe what everyone counted on most was, well, you'll have a strong defense and a good running game. Well, not really. And early this year, 2017, this past year, the run game wasn't even there.
Right, exactly.
Things were, you know, not always good for Tyrod Taylor, and yet he pressed on, never complained publicly about it, pressed on, did the best he could, and found his way to the playoffs.
Right. You can't – he's never complained at any point. Even when he was benched last year, this year when he was benched, he's never complained. He's never complained about, man, you never hear him come out, I just don't have receivers. I don't trust any of these guys. We're picking up guys off the streets. I need more time. I'm playing in a different system every single year. One year I played in two different systems. I mean, he's never complained. He's just pressed on and tried to make plays as good as he can make those plays, whether it was through the air or whether it was with his legs. And the team this year, he was the quarterback when his team went into the playoffs. And so, yeah, you can't take that stuff away.
Trade becomes official Wednesday. What do you think? What was the most important thing about Tyrod Taylor's tenure in Buffalo? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3. Here's Ray in Clarence. Go ahead, Ray. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. You know, this, I kind of have three thoughts. You know, Tyrod, I'll always know him as a running quarterback, you know, real smart, you know, heady player, but, you know, his running ability is what I look at him as. And, John, you might appreciate this. I was so delighted to hear that we got a third-round pick. It reminded me of getting a first-round pick for Paul Gostad 10 years ago. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, we'll take it.
Okay.
And, you know, Cleveland, if they were willing, they kind of make out on this deal, too. If they were willing to give a second and a third for McCarron, you know, they've got to feel delighted to only give up a third for a guy that's kind of a proven commodity. At least they know what they're getting.
Yeah, much more complete resume than McCarron, no question about that.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. I called you guys about 2 weeks ago. This year, I would, once again, we got our now we have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds. You know, last time we had 4, we had 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. I'm saying, you know, let's get 4 starters or impactful players. Now I'm looking at with the 6, let's get 5 out of the 6. Let's see if a quarterback drops to us at 21. I mean, relatively speaking, we don't have a lot of salary cap space.
Oh.
This year, you know, half of it, almost half, I think, if we go after free agent, you know, is going to be used up in a quarterback. If we're giving up draft picks, how are we going to fill these holes? I say draft, let the meaningful players at a low salary make the impact. And the next year, when that salary cap opens up, that's why I would trade down for a quarterback, because we can fill those with free agency. That's my opinion.
All right, Ray, thanks. You know, Donald and I, we each have our quarterback plan now, revised over the weekend. We're going to get to that in the next couple of minutes here.
That's right.
But I'm inclined to think the other way. Look, we're in an interesting year here in the NFL with enough free agents who can step in and play a little bit, get you through a year, maybe a little bit longer, and a draft class of quarterbacks who maybe a couple of them, can be franchise-type quarterbacks. I think the door is open a little bit. I think this extra third-round pick opens things up a lot for the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about that. We'll do it at 12:30, okay, our quarterback
right.
plan?
That
can
works.
You wait 9 minutes for that?
I can wait.
And
I'm
we're
excited
pretty similar.
About this.
I think yeah, I am too. I'm excited. That's what made me – look, I appreciate – we're talking a lot about Tyrod today, but also turning the page and what does it mean for the Bills. I think it means now. Get the quarterback now. With that – just that third-rounder gives them enough draft capital now to get the quarterback and still not wipe out their whole draft, which is kind of what Ray was saying. You know, you need low-cost players. Yes, you do. But you've got an opportunity maybe to get a quarterback who could really be special. Maybe.
So basically, we're about to do recap from the future. Right?
Yes.
Recap from the future. And I'm actually going to take it a little bit further than what we actually have down here. So I'm looking forward to this segment. Yeah, I think that they could they definitely could make this happen without giving away their entire draft.
Right.
And I'm going to try to break that down.
12:30, we'll break
so
that
listen
down.
So listen in at 12:30.
Todd, you can listen for the next 8 minutes, too.
True.
Todd in North Tonawanda on the air with us. Go ahead, Todd. Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing? I like Tyrod Taylor. I really loved his legs and his escapability. Mm-hmm. However, going to Donald's point regarding he's not going to win you the game, one point in case to support that is early in the season, game 2 against Carolina at the end of the game. He had Zay Jones wide open to win the game, couldn't hit him in stride. Mm. Think about what would have happened if he could have hit him in stride to win that game. A, we wouldn't have needed Andy Dalton's miracle. And B, I really think it would have affected Zay Jones' confidence throughout the rest of the season.
Todd, that's an interesting point and a big play in the season. And we spent a lot of time after that play, week 2 at Carolina, talking about
what?
I think what we came to, Donald, with a lot of questions being asked, was it was not just Tyrod, right? It was Zay Jones not really making the right cut, not making the right
move. That was a combination.
Yeah.
Zay Jones needed to keep that route higher, and Tyrod Taylor needed to have a better throw. But I'm sure he was expecting for Zay Jones as he threw the ball a little bit higher. And if Zay Jones takes that route higher on his angle once he comes out of that break, he's walking into the end zone. If he catches that ball, if Tyrod actually made a throw to the sideline and Zay Jones catches that ball, he might catch it and go out of bounds. But if he made the right cut and kept that at a higher angle, he would have been in the end zone, perfect pass, touchdown, game over. But, you know, I don't want to turn this into a bash Tyrod show. But for me, the last time we saw Tyrod in a Buffalo Bills uniform on the field, and that's the playoff game, there were plays at the end of that game where he left on the field. And, you know, the Jaguars were in a cover 4, and you had the post route, and he didn't throw the post route. You know, he threw an out route. And it was just those are the things that was like, man, you throw the post route. I mean, you know in a cover 4 that the post is something that you're looking to first, and he didn't make that throw. And so that's what I say, you know, there are certain games he just didn't win you the game because he didn't want to take that chance. Boom, the post is coming open when that's supposed to be your first read. Instead, check it down to the out route, LeSean McCoy, whoever else.
And that happened in the playoff game where they only put 3 points on
exactly.
the scoreboard. And that happened a lot. That type of thing happened a lot over the 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? The starts for Tyrod Taylor. Got a call here from Dustin in Jamestown. Go ahead, Dustin. You're on the air with us.
Murph, Don, great to talk to you guys. I'm so excited that somebody from the Bills organization can make a deal like that. A first pick in the third round for Tyrod is amazing.
That's a good – it's great return. I'm shocked. As I said, I would have thought fourth round, fifth round, maybe, if they could find a trade partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just goes to show you that we're heading in the right direction, that these guys actually know what they're doing and not just talking, but they're actually doing something.
Okay, thanks. The trade was great, Donald, and the timing was key too, you would think, right?
No.
I mean, look at what Cleveland – no.
They should have did it while we were on air Friday.
Oh, that's true.
They waited
that's
until true. We were off air.
But think, look at Cleveland last Friday, what they did, those three trades they made, Jarvis Landry in the corner from Green Bay and Tyrod Taylor. Clearly, the Bills identified the Browns as a team that was hot to move, make moves today, 4 or 5 days before free agency. And I give them credit for that. The Bills tapping into where Cleveland was at, because you got to find a trade partner. You might have a trade in mind, but if you don't have a partner, you'll sit there with your trade and do nothing. They identified the Browns as a team that had an interest in Tyrod Taylor, that was willing to give up significant in return for Tyrod Taylor, and ready to make the move then. And, you know, you go back a week before and we were at the Combine when Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott both said, yeah, we'll pay that $6 million roster
yeah.
bonus.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked about it then. I didn't think they were going to have Tyrod on the roster on opening day, even mm-hmm. after they mm-hmm. said that.
That's why
they sent the message. Yeah, we're willing to do that, so make us an offer. They kind of flushed out offers by making that statement, I think, at the combo.
I mean, that's why it goes to show, number one, no disrespect to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, but, you know, this is the season of baloney.
Yeah.
That comes out, and that's because it's all business, and we're trying to make sure that we say the right things so that everybody understands, look, we're open for business here. We're trying to make some things happen. And so you see other teams like, yeah, whoops, we're willing to give up the number one overall pick. They might not be, but at least teams are going to call and say, hey, well, what you trying to get for the first overall pick? And, you know, see what that is. And so, yeah, I mean, that was a good trade. To get a third rounder, the first pick in the third round, that was a good move. I think they made the right move on that one.
And
just the fact that, yeah, the timing, just the fact that they knew or they found out probably at the combine that the Browns wanted to do something like this, you know, and they probably stayed on the phones and made it happen.
All right, we got a lot to talk about. We'd love to talk with you. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Want to hear from you. What's the most important thing about Tyrod Taylor's 3-year tenure in Buffalo? Give us a call to talk about that. You can weigh in our Twitter poll. You can also talk about the future, what the Bills should do at quarterback. Donald and I have our new revised quarterback plan for the Buffalo Bills. We will talk about that when we come back. We're just getting rolling. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones on this Monday. We are in the, what do they call it? The legal tampering period? The
yep.
contact, open contact period?
Yeah.
Free agency opens Wednesday, but right now teams can contact agents for players and kind of get a sense of where you're at. What's your money look like? What are you thinking? And that has begun as of 32 minutes ago. We don't know if there'll be any news coming out of that today. Bills main news Friday with their trade, reported trade, which will become official Wednesday. Tyrod Taylor to the Cleveland Browns for the first pick in the third round, 65th overall. We want to know from you what you think about that and what Tyrod Taylor's legacy will be with the Buffalo Bills. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets, Nick Kirk tweets in. Quick thoughts on Tyrod, great dude. But how many games did he win you? Not many. You can count handfuls of games he lost you because he couldn't move the offense. Hard to say so-and-so lost a game, but clearly Nick Kirk is right. There were games when the Bills' offense was so bad, Donald, and the passing offense in particular was so ineffective that they didn't give themselves a chance to win. They just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and that obviously had a lot to do with Tyrod Taylor. It had a lot to do with the receivers on the field, the entire offense, offensive line. I mean, there were just times where you couldn't get everybody on the same page. And I don't mean people are confused out there. I just mean you get one group playing well, the other group's not playing well. And that's why this is a total team sport, or you have the offensive line playing well, running game is going, but you just can't get the passing game going. Whether that's because Tyrod's not seeing things on the field or the receivers are dropping passes. But you couldn't get everybody on the same page and clicking at the same time.
Want to hear from you. What do you think? Tyrod's legacy in Buffalo, 803-0550. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. A few more calls on this, and then we'll get to our quarterback plans. Demetrius from Grand Island on the air with us. Hello, Demetrius. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hey, Donald. How you doing? I was kind of surprised, but I was excited when they made the trade. When I think of Tyrod Taylor, like the other the text message or the guy that sent in, he was a great dude. He's a great professional, God-fearing man. But the one thing that stands out is that he was very, very, very careful with the ball. He wasn't just reckless. And when you look, and he had three offensive coordinators, no receivers. We went from 27 points a game to basically nothing, but we still made the playoffs by luck. When I think of him, I think that next to Jim Kelly, he was the best quarterback that we've ever had. That's a whole lot. Jim Kelly was the best.
Wow.
But I am saying that he went to two Pro Bowls. He took us to a playoff after 17 years, and he didn't throw a lot of interceptions, and he did have to endure three offensive coordinators. So I don't want to put it all on just the quarterback and the receivers. Those play calls were terrible. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, thanks. I don't think he was next to Jim Kelly. I mean, I think that gives you're omitting Joe Ferguson, who my money would probably be the second-best quarterback in franchise history. Jack Kemp would have a vote in that as well. But certainly Tyrod, the best since Jim Kelly, the most accomplished, and the guy who got more done than pretty much anybody else. And you're right. We talked about it, the coaching, you know, the three different offensive coordinators. There were things, you know, it never looked like – well, I don't know. You have the number one running attack, you know, you have to think that helps the quarterback a lot. But it never looked like, in the passing game anyway, that, you know, Tyrod had an easy setup, Donald. You know what I mean?
No, it didn't look like that to me. He never had an easy setup because you had different receivers all the time. I mean, look, he always had – an uphill climb, but at the same time, he could make plays on the field with the guys that he had on the field. And so, you know, as bad as things were with the receiver position being in flux all the time, when you're the quarterback, you are the guy that has to lift up everybody else. You are the guy that has to pull the trigger and make the plays. You can't – he never said this, but, you know, in my mind, he didn't make throws because either he was scared to turn the ball over, or he didn't have the trust in those receivers that they would actually make the plays. And for me, you got to just say, all right, look, I'm going to put it where I'm supposed to put it. I was always taught that way coming up. I'm going to put it where I'm supposed to put it. If you don't make the plays, that's on you. And everybody can see that that's on you. But at least I gave you an opportunity. And that's my thing about Tyrod Taylor. Give guys the opportunity to make plays. Let them make plays for you. That's why guys get paid a lot of money to play wide receiver. And that's why it's the sexiest position in the league, because we make plays for the quarterbacks. But he didn't give guys the opportunity on a lot of occasions.
Talking about Tyrod Taylor's legacy on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, we have a guy who has a thing or two to say about Buffalo Bills' legacy. Happy to have Pro Football Hall of Famer running back Thurman Thomas on the Subway Fresh Take line with us. Hi, Thurman. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine, man. Miss you guys.
Yeah, got to come in sometime. You in town?
What's going on? You're just hanging with too many celebrities.
Well, you know, I actually have a real job.
Oh.
These jobs are real here.
Not that you guys don't have real jobs. But,
feels,
you know,
pretty real.
I'm out 9 to 5, you know.
I got you. Hey, what do you think of the reported trade, Tyrod Taylor to the Browns? What do you make of it, Thur?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's obvious that if you look at the trade, I mean, you can look at it a lot of different ways. Maybe the Bills are setting themselves up to maybe go get a quarterback. But, you know, my call today really is just to tell everybody, you know, how happy and how proud I am of Tyrod really going through everything that he's got going through since he's gotten here. I can remember the first game that he played. I think it was against the Colts, wasn't it? Might have been against the Colts.
We threw
the long touchdown pass to Percy Harvin.
Yeah, you're
and,
right.
And at that time, we felt like, oh, my God, we might have something there. But then Percy got hurt, and then Sammy got hurt. I don't even think Sammy started that season. So, I mean, I look at what Tyrod has done for the past 3 years, and obviously, yeah, there are some things that a lot of fans, including myself, would have wanted him to do a lot better. But, guys, when you take away weapons and you're put into an offense where –
sometimes you just don't. How many nine routes did the Bills throw in the past 3 years? Really, the past year, or past 2 years? Not a lot. You just didn't have that deep threat. And I think when you take away, only person that can do look great in this offense, or the past couple of offenses that Tyrod, is Tom Brady. That's it. That's it. Or Peyton Manning or somebody like that. But even with Peyton Manning, you had the long threat. And even with Tom Brady, you've had the long threat with Cooks, with Walker, with Randy Moss. All that was taken away from Tyrod. But I think more importantly, Tyrod did an excellent job for this organization, an excellent job within the community for being just a leader. And I think that right there should be the number one thing of what we should be talking about with Tyrod. He was a leader, man. He went through a lot of different things, especially this past year, being benched and all this, going through three different offensive coordinators. To me, the guy was a winner. I hate to see him go, but I understand where the Bills are coming from. They want to go in a different direction. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I had to say.
You know, Thurman and Donald, I want to get your thoughts on this. Tyrod's first year as a starter, 2015, he seemed to have the green light to throw it deep. And then the last 2 years here as a starter, I don't know why. They didn't try it as much. Donald, what do you think? I don't know where it went. If he wasn't seeing it downfield, if he didn't have protection enough to look downfield. I mean, there was receivers in and out of the lineup, Sammy in particular. But it was almost like that went away after his 2015 season.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was the coaches or if it was Tyrod Taylor. I say this, Sammy Watkins, when he was healthy, is a different person. Down the field, that dude is a different receiver. And that's just talking to guys that were on the roster here when Sammy was here. They would even say, like, man, this dude is a different person. The way he can track the ball in the air, the way he can pull away from DBs when the ball is in the air. And maybe, you know, that had part to do with Tyrod Taylor just not having him in the lineup, that guy as the one going down the field, the guy who he could trust. Man, if I throw this ball up, Sammy is going to go get it. Not having him, maybe it just went away in his mind. Or if the coaches really just felt like, no, we don't have anybody that can get down the field that way and consistently make catches. I'm not sure which side that actually falls on.
What do you think, Thurman? I mean, did you see anything there over the last couple of years?
Well, I mean, I just don't think we had a deep threat. Mm-hmm. I just really didn't think that we had the deep threat that you need in an offense. And I think everybody realized, I mean, when you don't have that deep threat, man, them corners going to be sitting 11 to 15 yards every single play. We never stretched the field. And I don't think Tyrod was given that opportunity. But you know what? You know, I called in to talk about Tyrod and give my thoughts about it, but I just think over the last 2 years, he just wasn't given that opportunity to throw the deep ball, which is probably his best throw. Probably his best throw. But when you really look at it, the body of work that he did was, I think, the first year. And then after Sammy came back from his injury. I mean, Sammy almost had over 1,000 yards in, what, 7 or 8 games it was?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and his average was, what, close to 20? And that was because they were throwing the two perfect deep balls that he threw in Kansas City. I mean, he didn't have that. He didn't have that. And when you don't have a wide receiver that can stretch the field, all your routes are going to be short enough. All your routes are going to be short enough. The safety is going to play, okay, well, who do you think is the best wide receiver? Okay, so they're probably going to run a slant here. So we'll just bring the safety down and take that away. So now what is he going to do? He just doesn't have anybody else to go to. And I think that was one of the things and that's why the Bills led the league in rushing 2 years in a row, because they had LeSean right there. And, you know, the offensive line did a great job of blocking and getting LeSean and Mike Gillisley and all those guys. That's why they were the number one rushing team in the league for 2 years.
Thurman, before we let you go, what's your Donald and I are going to get through our quarterback plans, but now what for the Buffalo Bills at quarterback? Draft, free agency, Nathan Peterman, what do you do? What do you do if you're the Bills?
Well, I think you have to go out and get a veteran quarterback. Now, I mean, you got maybe two sitting in Minnesota with Bridgewater or maybe Sam Bradford. I mean, I don't think those guys will cost you a lot, but I do think you need to bring a veteran quarterback in. I think you need to draft one. I wish we wouldn't be having this conversation and they would have started drafting quarterbacks 17 years ago. Right after, you know, so we wouldn't be having this conversation, but they haven't. And this is where we're at right now. But I tell you what, I like the way that Coach McDermott and Coach Bean have really, GM Bean have really been going at it, being aggressive, not sitting back and waiting.
you know, I can't wait for the next couple of weeks to go by to see what these guys are going to do, and especially come on draft day to see what they're going to do. So I don't know if they're going to do something before that, but, you know, they've done an excellent job of really building this team. I mean, they got 6 picks in the first 3 rounds of the draft.
Yeah.
And if you can't use that to go get the guy that you want, and I'm sure they probably have a guy that they picked out that they really like, man, you go and get him and see what happens.
All right, Thurm, let's get you in here and talk about this sometime. Spend a little time with you.
Thurm, come on, man.
You got off days.
Come on, you got sick days.
Yeah, I know I do, man. But you know, I can't really do it, man. I'm a busy man, and but it's just, you know, I'll find time for you guys.
We'll get you in here. Thanks, Thurm.
You got to find time for us.
All right.
Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back, 11 seasons with the Buffalo Bills. His take on Tyrod Taylor, the report that Tyrod's been traded away. We'll get more of your take. Donald and I have quarterback plans for the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about that when we come back. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're making it up as we go along. We each, Donald and I, each have extensive quarterback plans for the Bills based on the trade announced Friday. We could do it in the next 5 minutes, but that won't give us enough time.
No,
here, Donald.
It won't. And so we lied to you guys.
We're not going to do it now. And we got a 1 o'clock guest coming up to talk about Tyrod in Cleveland. We'll talk with Dustin Fox about that. We will give you time to talk more about Tyrod Taylor, his legacy here in Buffalo, and what the Bills do next. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Tom on the line from Lakeview. Hello, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
All right, yeah. I wanted to thank Tyrod for his time here in Buffalo. I mean, he had to go through some things that a lot of other franchise quarterbacks may not have to go through. But with that being said, you know, he never really did what we needed him to do as a quarterback. Great athlete. I'm sure he can play and do a lot of different things, but when it comes down to playing quarterback, we all know it's pushing the ball down the field. And I just feel like he never really trusted his eyes. You know, we talk about open receivers. We talk about guys running in the loose that, you know, people can see on film. You know, it's in the NFL, one-on-one is basically open. Sometimes you got to throw it to that guy. And it's just I got the feeling from Tyrod that he always had a problem making that throw to the guy that was one-on-one. And that maybe could have helped him out in the long run, but – you know, I wish him luck in Cleveland, and I hope he does very well. So, thank you, guys.
Good points. Good points, Tom. Never trusted his eyes. I think that's a really good way to put it. Donald, you were here two seasons ago. David Lee, then quarterback coach, sat right over there and essentially said the same thing about Tyrod.
Yeah.
This is Tyrod's coach in the middle of the season telling us, basically, I'm paraphrasing, David Lee telling us, and I consider David Lee one of the best quarterback coaches out there, saying, I got to get him to trust what he sees. Right?
It's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was talking about in the red zone especially.
Yeah.
But the red zone, you really got to trust it because the windows are tight. And so you got to just trust it and pull the trigger because if you don't, the window is gone.
Gone.
And so now you're trying to make plays with your legs, which at that point you start to roll out and it really shortens down the field to one side and you just don't have space to begin with. And so, yeah, I mean, that's for me, it's always been about that, trusting what he's seeing, whether that's seeing guys open, throwing guys open, or even just being late on throws. When you trust what you see, you trust it, you make the throw before the guy even comes out of the break.
And you're going to be wrong sometimes.
Right. You're going to be wrong. At times, you're going to throw an interception. But when you're right, it's like, man, that was a great throw by whoever, by Tyrod Taylor. He threw that ball before that guy even came out of his break, before his head was even turned around, and it gave that guy an opportunity to catch the ball and keep on going. And when you don't trust it, you got to wait and be sure, oh, he's open, let me throw it. And by that time, he's not open anymore, you know, unless it was a true blown coverage and a guy is just wide open. And in this league, it doesn't happen that often.
You know what else Tyrod Taylor's tenure here in Buffalo is about, I believe, as we look back today a little bit at that. What it would have been without him, and an interesting tweet from Trenton Johnson. Tyrod was a quarterback that never had everything he needed, yet he was always ultra-professional. I agree with that. He goes on to say, I don't want to imagine what the last 3 years would have been like without him. It's a really good point. When Tyrod came in 2015, I mean, it was Matt Cassel, E.J. Manuel, and Tyrod Taylor vying for the starting quarterback job in that training camp. Tyrod completely blew the other two away, totally outshone the other two in preseason games and a training camp. If that had not happened, if he had not been here to challenge, we're talking about E.J. Manuel or Matt Cassel at least in 2015 and who knows what in 2016 and 2017. Tyrod, with his play, with his leadership, with all of his faults included, he still, I think, Donald, managed to raise the bar for quarterback play in Buffalo. We know what an average, a little bit better than average quarterback looks like. Not enough. The Bills want to be better. And I credit Tyrod for that, for raising the bar.
Yeah, I think he raised the bar a little bit, but I think there's still a lot better that you can get.
Absolutely.
And we're going to get into this with this quarterback plan here soon at some point in the show. We'll get into it.
Are you getting impatient? We got 2 hours left.
But I know, right? But I think, you know, in terms of just being professional, in terms of being a leader on this team, even making some plays on the field, yeah, I mean, the guys that are in this locker room, whoever's the quarterback next year, they're going to look for that type of person, not even just player on the field, but that type of person in the locker room. You got to be able to lead us like Tyrod Taylor did, be a professional like Tyrod Taylor was, you know, never bashing anybody in your locker room, never everything that falls on you and not on anybody else, at least the words that are coming out of your mouth. And so in terms of those things, yeah, I think he did raise the level.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about Tyrod, more about the Bills quarterback plan. And when we come back, about the Cleveland Browns, what do they want with Tyrod Taylor? What are they going to do with their draft picks? We'll talk with Dustin Fox, radio host in Cleveland, former defensive back in the NFL. He'll join us when we return after the top of the hour. So come on back for that. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald and I live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Bills a couple of days away from making formal their trade of quarterback Tyrod Taylor to the Cleveland Browns. The announcement came Friday night. Not official yet, but the Bills ready to trade their quarterback, their starter for the last 3 years, to Cleveland in exchange for a third-round pick. First pick in the third round. Tyrod Taylor going to Cleveland. The Bills have some moves to make at quarterback, maybe in free agency later this week. Certainly one would take in the draft at the end of April. Miami Dolphins are planning to release defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, according to ESPN. Dolphins could make the move today, but more likely it'll happen on Wednesday. Suh just said that there are some exciting things going on. Arizona Cardinals expected to release running back Adrian Peterson today, according to ESPN. He'd be owed a $750,000 bonus on Friday, third day of the league year, if he were still on the team. The sources say Peterson could re-sign with the Cardinals at a later date. And Richard Sherman says he didn't abandon anybody. He says playing in the NFC West and having the opportunity to go against his former team Seattle played a role in his decision to sign with the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers and Sherman agreed to a 3-year contract officially announced by the team yesterday. College basketball, the UB Bulls headed back to the NCAA tournament for the third time in the last 4 years. They'll go to Boise, Idaho as a 13 seed and face number 4 Arizona in the first round. The game this Thursday, 9:45 p.m. approximately. It will air nationally on CBS. St. Bonaventure got an at-large bid to the tournament. They have to play in the first 4 on Tuesday. The Bonnies go up against UCLA tomorrow night at UD Arena in Dayton, Ohio. That game scheduled to tip off about 10 after 9. That game will air on True TV. The winner advances to play 6-seeded Florida on Thursday in Dallas. Virginia holds the top seed. Syracuse among the last to make the tournament, along with St. Bonaventure, UCLA, and Arizona State. The ACC put 9 teams in the NCAA 68-team tournament field. Buffalo Sabres lost to the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday 2-1. The Sabres have a scheduled off day today. They return to practice tomorrow. Next game is until Thursday when they're home against Toronto. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones on this Monday. First day of legal tampering, official contact for NFL free agents. But teams have been beating them to the punch, beating everybody to the punch with trades, including the big one affecting the Bills and the Cleveland Browns. Tyrod Taylor reportedly going to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for a third-round draft pick. On the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us, longtime follower of the Cleveland Browns, played 5 seasons at defensive back in the NFL, including a couple of years with the Buffalo Bills. Now a sports radio host at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Happy to have Dustin Fox on the line with us. Dustin, John Murphy, Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us here today.
What's up, fellas? Good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
What's the level of excitement about Tyrod Taylor coming to Cleveland? Where does he fit into their plans, do you think?
I don't know that there's a level of excitement for him in terms of, you know, long-term prospects, but I think that there are fans, including myself, that are excited that the Browns now have a legitimate starting quarterback on the roster, someone who's won games in the league and You know, I kind of joked about this on Friday on my show. I said, this is probably, like, the best quarterback the Browns have had on paper since Tim Couch. I mean, legitimate, and that's kind of crazy because Tyrod's not – he's not, you know, he's not great, but he's good enough to win games and I think brings maybe some stability to the franchise at the most important position. So that being said, it's great to have him. And we know now sort of what the direction is of the team with the quarterback position. And I think that the Browns are invested in him enough to merit giving up a third-round pick for the guy. I mean, the 65th overall pick, that's not something to scoff at. That's a pretty big pick.
Now, you talk about the Browns giving up a third-round pick, pretty high pick for Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Do you feel like it's his job to lose, or do you feel like, yeah, they'll still draft one and it will be an open competition once you get to training camp?
Oh, Donald, they're drafting a quarterback with either the first or fourth pick. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I just don't know that quarterback is going to start week one or at some point this year. It sort of depends how things shake out. And look, the Browns were snake-bitten last year by starting a rookie quarterback in week one. I don't think they want to do that again. I think they really do want to have that veteran presence at that position. I think that they would love to not have to force the rookie in there to start week one. And, you know, Tyrod's, yeah, I think it's his job to lose for sure. I to answer your question, long-winded, yeah, I think it's his job to lose. Would the rookie start at some point this year? Yeah, sure. I mean, if we get to week 10 and, you know, the rookie's ready to go, that typically happens. And we're talking about a top draft pick. The first or fourth pick will be, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in this draft. So unless Tyrod plays great, then you don't take him off the field.
How about if Tyrod plays okay, like he usually does, doesn't turn it over, you know, wins a couple, loses a couple. He won two more than he lost as a starter here in Buffalo. What if he's at that level? Is it all about the rookie then and his level of availability?
Depends if they're winning, John. Yeah. If the team's winning, then you're not going to take him off the field. I mean, the Browns had, you know, some success with Brian Hoyer back in 2014, and the team was, you know, three games over 500, and, you know, they had that whole Manziel fiasco and decided to bench Hoyer, and they went to Manziel, and it was a mistake, obviously. So I think it depends on if they're winning. I mean, Tyrod could play average. He could, like, what are his numbers all time? I mean, the guy throws for, what, 200 yards a game. He doesn't turn the football over. He's a game manager. And I hate that term so much, but I think that that's a good fitting way to describe Tyrod Taylor.
We're with Dustin Fox, Cleveland sports radio host, former Bills defensive back, played five seasons in the NFL. I wonder, Dustin, about the entire cluster of trades the Browns made on Friday and the timing of them. Why last Friday? Why a few days before free agency? What do you think prompted that flurry of activity by Cleveland and their trade partners last week?
Well, I think John Dorsey wanted to be aggressive. I really do think he wanted to make a splash before free agency began. And look, you have to understand, the Browns are not an appealing franchise right now. It's not a franchise that free agents are going to just be like, oh my God, I want to go to Cleveland. And so I think that they wanted to do a couple things. Not only did they want to get a couple veteran players in here at some key positions, but I also think that now, I think John Dorsey may have shown some of those free agents that Cleveland could be a place you want to go, that they do mean business, and that things are going to be different here going forward. I mean, you get Jarvis Landry and, you know, Tyrod in here, and you get the corner from Green Bay. And, I mean, look, the Landry move is the headliner for sure, but you've got people around the league talking about the Browns in a different light, and that is rare. I mean, Friday afternoon, the Browns were trending nationally on Twitter. I mean, it was crazy, and jokes were coming out from Adam Schefter, like, the Browns are done for the day, we think. Like, it's just kind of funny to see this because the Browns have never done this before.
And you were talking about Jarvis Landry as being the blockbuster. Yeah. Jarvis Landry, do you feel like he's the true number one wide receiver there? Does Gordon still have something to say about that? Will they actually renegotiate Jarvis Landry's contract so that it's not a big number, a big cap hit for this year?
Well, the cap hit doesn't matter because the Browns have the most cap space in football, so that's not a big deal. The concern would be, you know, what number can they negotiate on if they try to do something for this year in terms of long term. There's been some reports out there that they've talked about that. I don't know if there's anything concrete in terms of the contract extension. To your other point about is he a number one receiver, I would say that he probably is, although he's not the typical number one receiver, right? I mean, he's a slot guy, catches a lot of balls. I think he'll fit with Josh Gordon well, and I do think Josh Gordon would have something to say for that. But you're talking about a guy who caught 400 passes in his first 4 years. He averages 100 catches a year. And he hasn't even had good quarterback play in Miami. So the guy is going to come in and be very, very productive, I believe, for the Browns. I hate the turn. And Dominic, you played receiver, so you know how that goes. What do you think, man? Do you think he's the number one?
No, I think he's a number. I think he's a number two. I think he's a true slot guy. I think Jordan is. Yeah. If Jordan can continuously prove that he's
Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon can continuously prove that he's, you know, still got that juice left in the tank. I think he's your number one guy, and I think Landry is a true slot receiver.
Yeah, yeah, see, I agree with you. I do. I mean, I think he'll catch a ton of balls here.
Right.
I think he'll be very productive. But I think in terms of, hey, it's third and eight, and I got to make a play. Right. I think you're probably throwing to Gordon if you got to get some big yardage.
That's,
you all right? Let me ask you a question.
I sound like you, bro.
Yeah, you do.
Save your man, John. Save your man.
I got you. Hey, Dustin, I have a question, and we do want to ask you about the draft and the Browns' draft plans here. But obviously John Dorsey has brought in, you know, all these moves. But is there a role at all anymore for Paul DePodesta, the Moneyball baseball guy, or is he just totally in the background? Does he have any role to play in any of these moves they've made?
Man, I don't think anybody knows what DePodesta is doing. I think he's still on the payroll. No one's seen him in a while. The last we talked to Dorsey about this, he still has some sort of a role. I just don't know what it is.
Okay.
I think your guess is as good as mine at this point.
So this is Dorsey making these moves.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
No question.
Yeah, and think about this. Hugh Jackson was the coach, or is the guy that wanted AJ McCarron.
Right.
And so if this tells you anything, they said, no, we're going to go trade for Tyrod Taylor. I mean, that is a Dorsey move for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Dustin, what about the draft now? And you said you believe they're going to take a quarterback with one of these picks. I think, and I think a lot of people feel like they should take Saquon Barkley, at least with the number one overall pick. What do you think about that?
Depends what you think about the other quarterbacks. You know, I'm of the mindset that you love one of these guys, you have to take them at one, and you can't risk losing them. I would risk losing Saquon Barkley at the cost of not losing my quarterback. So I don't know where they have these guys ranked. I know Saquon's a beast. I know he's legitimately probably the number one prospect in this draft. I talked to a scout last week. He told me that. He said Barkley's for sure the best player in the draft. But the Browns don't have a quarterback. You know, last time I checked, you're not winning with a tailback, even a Hall of Fame running back.
So which quarterback do you think they like? Do you know? Do you have a thought?
I have a thought on who I like. I don't know who they like.
Who do you like?
I like Baker Mayfield.
Really?
And I would draft him number one.
Number one overall.
I would. Yeah. Baker I love him.
What about Baker Mayfield do you like that you would like him over Rosen and Darnold?
I think that he is the most accurate passer in this draft. I think that he is somebody that can turn a franchise around with his attitude, with his leadership. You know, some people don't like the way he carries himself on the field. I happen to love it, and had a chance to spend some time with him down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl, and the short period of time I chatted with him, it's just made me like him even more, frankly. So I loved him. I watched a lot of his tape at Oklahoma. He does play within structure. He's not Johnny Manziel, which is the comparison he gets, and I think it's unfair. So, he's my. I mean, I like Darnold too, but I like Baker the most.
Now, he might be there at four, right? For the
Baker?
Browns? Yeah.
I wouldn't risk it.
Really? Do you like him that much? Interesting.
I mean, if I'm Dorsey, I'm not I'm not risking losing my guy because I think he's going to be there. Yeah, I don't think you mess around with that.
You know, after the flurry of trades last Friday, it's instructive. I think folks should know that the Browns still are loaded, right? They have five picks in the first 64, five picks in the first two rounds now.
No, that's great. I mean, to be able to get Landry and not have to give up one of those top picks. And there's some people that thought that giving up the third round pick for Tyrod was a little bit too much, which I understand, but I'm okay with it. I mean, you're talking about still have three second round picks on top of those two picks in the top five. And oh, by the way, depending on how this thing shakes out, maybe the Browns trade down from one of those picks in the first round. You know, what if they get their quarterback and somebody really covets number four and the Browns trade down to, you know, six or seven or eight or something for a team that wants to trade up to get their quarterback, and then the Browns still get an excellent player in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And then maybe get another pick for next year. Who knows?
Browns have a big move to make this week, free agency, a quarterback in free agency, you think? Or is that it with Tyrod?
I think it was Tyrod, yeah. I mean, there was talk that maybe Cousins would be in play, but that's out the window now. I think clearly Tyrod's the bridge quarterback, and the Browns will continue to move forward with that and draft one, you know, with one of these top picks.
They got the capital to do it. Hey, Dustin, thanks for this. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Anytime. Go Bills.
Okay. Yeah. Dustin Fox played here a couple of years, 07 and 08, a little bit before your time, right?
A little bit. A couple of years. A
couple of years before Donald. Five seasons in the NFL with the Bills, the Vikings, and Philadelphia. Now Dustin Fox is a sports radio host for WKRK 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. He likes Baker Mayfield more than anybody I've heard.
Well, I mean, you know, I think I have something to say about this.
All right. You want to take any calls or get right into this? Quarterback plans, we're getting right
into it.
Let's get into it. We will take your phone calls, your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor's legacy in Buffalo, your thoughts on where the Bills go from here. But Donald and I have put together our quarterback plan now with Tyrod gone. And I think, to be honest with you, this would have been my plan before Friday.
I mean,
I left open the possibility, the remote possibility that Tyrod might be here. But, look, you and I have been answering this question since November 19th.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us expected Tyrod Taylor to be here this year, right? How many times? We got that question a lot last week.
We talked about this. Right.
Tyrod's gone. Neither Donald nor I are surprised by that. The Bills' offseason quarterback plan, I will let you go first, Mr. Jones.
You're going to let me go first.
Quarterback plan for the Bills, this is yours.
This is mine.
It's not prediction. This is what you would do.
This is what I would do.
Let's hear it.
I would sign a veteran this week, either A.J. McCarron or Case Keenum. I think that both of those guys, and for me, it's about signing a guy who you don't have to give a long-term deal to, a guy who is going to be a true bridge quarterback. Now, Case Keenum is a question mark in there because I think a team will end up giving him a three-year deal or something like that. But I think I would give him a one-year prove it again. You know, you can get whatever the number might be, probably $20, $21 million, something like that. But prove it to me again. And if you can prove it again, then we'll sign you to a 3 or 4 year deal moving forward. But for me, it's either A.J. McCarron or Case Keenum.
Now, before you move on, there are interesting quarterbacks in this free agent plan, including, correct, as of right now, the agent for Drew Brees can be taking phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you look at the list. There's Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, your two guys, McCarron, Keenum, Sam Bradford, Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater. There are names on this list, free agent quarterbacks. You know, Colin Kaepernick is out there. There are names out there.
Look, if you can get on the phone and you can convince Drew Brees to leave New Orleans, because I think it's – that contract has not been done down there in New Orleans yet, but I think it's going to really take some convincing. And for Drew Brees himself to feel like we have something going here where we can win right now, for him to leave that city and go to another city, because he's not going to want to go to a team that, you know, you just don't know where that team is going to be. Not saying that we don't know where the Bills is going to be, but the fact of the matter is we don't know where the Bills are going to be because you have so many free agents and you were a 9-win team last year. I think it's really going to take some convincing to get him out of New Orleans into another place. Not just money, but the actual team that's in place.
So Donald's quarterback plan says sign a veteran quarterback, probably this week, A.J. McCarron or Case Keenum.
Right.
What do you got number two on your list?
Number two, trade up and draft Baker Mayfield.
Well, Dustin, we're just talking about Baker
Mayfield. That's right. That's why I said I had something to say about this.
Tell me why him.
Because,
and how far do you got to trade up to draft him?
I think you got to trade up to 4 or 5, somewhere in there to get him. Somewhere in there between 4 and 6, because you might get like a defensive lineman to end up coming off the board in those first 5 picks or something like that. That might move him back. But I think everybody talks about Baker Mayfield and his height. For me, I love not just quarterbacks, but guys that play with the chip on their shoulder, guys that play with an edge. And I think Baker Mayfield plays with that. Out of all of these quarterbacks in this draft, he is a guy who plays with that edge. Everything is written on his sleeve. He'll tell you, this is how I feel. I can turn this franchise around. And I like that about a guy. I like that about a guy. He's not afraid to say what he feels. He's not afraid to play with that type of passion out there on the field. He's accurate. The height is something that I know in college football, the field is a little bit more spread out where he can see the windows and all of that stuff. But he came from a big program, you know, with big linemen in front of him. And so I don't think that's something that you really – I don't want to say knock on him, but I just don't think that's something that's going to really bother him once he gets up here to this level. As long as he's in the right system, he has the right receivers, I think Baker Mayfield is going to be able to truly – flourish and have a good career in this league. I like Baker Mayfield, so I think you trade up and take Baker Mayfield.
All right, so Donald's offseason quarterback plan, sign a veteran, A.J. McCarron or Case Keenum, trade up to draft Baker Mayfield, and you're going to have to, if you're going to get up in the top four, you said, you're going to have to give up your two first-rounders, maybe at least one of your second-rounder, and maybe more, maybe even a player, maybe even Cordy Glenn to help you move up.
You might.
Okay.
You might. And for me, in terms of moving up, yeah, you might have to give up a player. Maybe you can give up a draft pick for next year.
Right.
You know, if you got to give up one of those first rounders and you got to give up your first round pick for next year or whatever the case may be, or a second rounder
three
for next year.
Three first rounders.
What you mean? Okay. No, I mean, one. Like if you trade away, let's just say 21.
Yeah.
And a next year is first or okay. a next year
all right.
is second.
Instead
or something.
Of both.
Yeah, instead of both of them.
21 and 22.
Right. Okay. You know, you trade away one from this year, one from next year. And a player, I'd be up for that if you feel like you're getting your guy, the right guy. Okay. Not trading away this year's entire draft because you got so much capital this year. I think you give up next year's.
And the third part of your quarterback plan includes
let it be a competition.
Yeah,
let it be a competition and let the best person, once you get to training camp, if whoever it is, if it's Baker Mayfield, he wins it out in training camp, then he's your guy, like Russell Wilson. You know, he won that thing, and he's been their guy ever since.
All right. You want to hear my quarterback plan?
Yeah.
My offseason quarterback plan is very similar to Donald's, just different names. Mm-hmm. Number one on my list, though, is to trade up to draft Sam Darnold. I think he is the guy who would probably fit best here, playing at an extremely high level for a couple of years. A little bit of a problem with some of the turnovers as a quarterback at USC, but I think they can fix that. Probably be ready to play sooner rather than later, maybe even by the end of the year. He's got everything. He's got everything you need, you know. They'll work on his faults, you know, the turnovers, fumbles, et cetera. A little bit of a funky throwing motion, but I think they'll work with him, and I think Sam Darnold will be my target. You'll have to move up probably to the top three or four. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give up, I think, those two, 21 and 22, and is maybe a player and maybe even a draft pick next year or some of your second rounds. But I think, look, when they made the deal for Tyrod to get that extra third rounder, to me, and this is just my impression, this is not inside info, to me, the implication was they're ready to move up. They're ready to use. They're ready to stockpile these premium draft picks first three rounds in order to move up. And I think Darnold would be their guy. And if it's not Darnold, maybe move up to the top six and get Josh Allen. Because again,
Josh Allen.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Top six, seven, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't overpay for him, but I think he's got enough raw ability, enough native raw ability, size, arm strength to be interested in him. That would be my two targets, Darnold number one, Josh Allen number two.
My biggest issue with those two guys, especially start with Darnold, just the interceptions and throwing so many interceptions. And maybe that's something that you can correct. I think he has a lot of confidence in his arm. And
I like that.
I like that too, a guy who has confidence in their arm. But for me, and we always talk about Tyrod Taylor, he didn't turn the ball over. Darnold is a guy on the total opposite end of that spectrum. Like, he is a guy who had a lot of turnovers in college, and that's something that teams, I think, will really give pause to. You know, oh, I don't know if I want to take this kid. He's turning the ball over too many times. And you turnovers, you lose games. And so that's something that they really have to feel like he's going to turn around if you're going to trade up to take him.
That's number one on my quarterback plan, trade up to draft Sam Darnold. Josh Allen would be my second pick. Number two on my quarterback plan, and again, just like Donald, sign a free agent. Do it this week. I have a couple of names, and I guess I wouldn't get too caught up in who they be, but I would either – my targets would be Josh McCown, just because I think he's a fine leader, would understand his role here, would help mentor the young rookie quarterback, if it's Darnold or whomever, and he would be my number one target. Sam Bradford would be my number two, mostly because he seems to fit – when I hear Brandon Bean talk about the type of pocket quarterback that he thinks you need to win in the NFL, I think Sam Bradford is the closest on that list of free agent quarterbacks to kind of fit that mold. Yes, I know knee injuries. Yes, I know, you know, he's had spotty success in the NFL. But we're not looking for a five-year starter here. We're looking for a one-year, maybe one-and-a-half-year starter. That would be second part of mine. And like Donald, I'm looking for my third element of the Bills quarterback plan would be competition in camp with the free agent, whoever it is, McCown or Bradford, hopefully, with the rookie, whoever it is, Darnold or maybe Josh Allen, and with Nathan Peterman. I think he has something to say about a quarterback competition.
Yeah, Nathan
I think he
Peterman.
Needs to be in the mix. And hopefully it's like 2015, and as you just said, the best man wins, just like Tyrod did in 2015.
Out of those two free agents, I'd probably go with McCown over Bradford, just because – I mean, we're not looking for a five-year starter from whoever the free agent is, but I don't even know if Bradford can give you one, you know, just because he gets hurt halfway through the season so often where you're like, oh, man, now you're forced with putting in the rookie kid to have to come in here and take things over, and he might not be ready yet, you know. So for me, I go with McCown. The Bills have seen McCown firsthand, understands how he can play, understands he gets the ball out of his hands quickly. He did against the Bills in that Thursday night game. He looked pretty good that night. And he had a pretty good season down there in New York. So I think I'd go with McCown over Sam Bradford.
To reset, Donald's quarterback plan, pretty good one. Sign a veteran, A.J. McCarron or Case Keenum. Mm-hmm. Part two of Donald's quarterback plan, trade up to draft Baker Mayfield. Quarterback competition in camp. My quarterback plan, trade up to draft Sam Darnold and settle for Josh Allen if you have to. Sign a free agent quarterback, Josh McCown or Sam Bradford, and have a quarterback competition in camp. What's your plan, your offseason quarterback plan for the Bills now that Tyrod is on his way out of the picture on Wednesday when the trade becomes official? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And our Twitter poll, what's the most important thing about Tyrod's tenure in Buffalo? You can tweet it in. It's on Twitter right now, or you can phone it in at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Two-thirds of you, about 63%, say the most important thing about Tyrod's tenure in Buffalo is that the playoff drought is over. A quarter of you, 25%, say the most important thing is that he needed to be more productive. 9% say not a right fit in the system, that's why he's gone. 3% say something else. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, and let us know what you think. We'll take a break. We're back with more discussion. Quarterbacks for the Buffalo Bills, what do you think? We're back with more on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Lots to talk about on this Monday. I was just checking around the league, Donald. Not a whole lot going on around the league yet. We are an hour and a half into the open contact period, the legal tampering period.
Yeah. This is like, you know, the first calls, the initial, hey, we're interested in so-and-so. So what would you think about coming to so-and-so? So we'll probably get some numbers and different things coming out later on today. You know how it happens. It's always after we get off the air, 4
yeah,
o'clock.
Right. 3:05.
Yeah, something like that. 4 o'clock, you get home, and you start to see different things. Like, oh, man, so-and-so just signed a mega deal with – that's just always how it
then
happens.
Then we start, then why didn't they do that at 2:30 when we're on the air?
Right, exactly. So everybody's on the phones right now.
What do you think? Tyrod Taylor's legacy in Buffalo, what will it be? He'll be traded officially on Wednesday, 4 p.m., not official until then. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-552-550. And now what's your quarterback plan for the Bills moving forward now that you know Tyrod is going to be out? Tom calling from Grand Island. Go ahead, Tom. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I want to say Tyrod's tenure in Buffalo, it was mediocre. I think, you know, 31st in passing all the time, you know, it's just not good enough. But I will say this, that his work ethic was, you know, awesome. And the way he handled his benching this year was, you know, second to none. I don't think any other guy could have handled it better than him, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was amazing, Donald. You know, 5 wins, 4 losses, very brutal, brutal, brutal loss against New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Going out west, playing the Chargers, pretty good team. I think we knew they were pretty good. I don't know if we knew they were really good. And Tyrod really never made a stink, you know?
No, he didn't. And you know, it was the second time he had been benched by this organization, and he never really said anything. He just was professional about it. He helped out Nathan Peterman that week, and anything that he needed, I'm sure, in the meeting rooms, on the field, trying to help him out when he was coming off the field after every interception, he's always been a professional, always worked hard, always been that type of guy, the captain, the leader of the team. And so you got to be proud of him for that.
Yeah. Go ahead. You had another point to make there, Tom, I believe.
I also think that I also want to give a shout-out to Brandon Bean. I don't know how he was able to get – I mean, this isn't just a normal third-round pick. It's the top pick of the third round.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing return to get. I don't know how he pulled that off.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that this – guys, this adds to their arsenal of ammunition. I really think that on draft day they're going to try. I think that they have – fallen in love with the guy, and I think that they're going to try everything they can to get that guy. They're going to go big game on it. I want to know what you guys think.
Yeah, that's the way I interpret it, Tom. And again, Don and I were joking this morning how we don't really get the we don't get the inside intel on this. They're very good about keeping much more than they ever have been since I've been around.
Oh, yeah.
About keeping a lid on things. So we don't know. But the first thing I thought of Friday, as soon as I heard about the trade Friday evening, was, all right, they're moving up. They're getting a quarterback, right?
Even national reporters are saying, all right, the Bills have now put themselves in position to move up to get a quarterback. For me, you still don't give away this entire draft.
You're right. You can get the quarterback, you can move up, and still have some good, important draft picks here this year.
I think you need to package players in there as well so that you don't have to give up the entire draft to get up that high to get a guy, you know? And so who knows? Maybe you got all these draft picks and you package them and trade for Nick Foles. Who knows? We'll see how that works out here in the next couple of weeks, next month and a half.
You know what? He made a good point, too, about or an interesting point anyway, about how they got the third-round pick from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And Dustin Fox talked about this. Look, the Browns still have a ton of draft picks, right? What did we say, five in the first 96?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Five in the first 64. Five in the first two rounds.
First two rounds.
For them – and this is smart. This is smart, I think, for Brandon Bean, knowing that a third rounder, first pick in the third round, for me, for you, for the Bills, for the Chargers, that's like, oh, that's kind of a good pick. Mm-hmm. You're the Cleveland Browns. You got six picks in the first 65. Okay, we'll take five and get our insurance at quarterback.
Right. Exactly.
That's a team you should focus on and say they got all this. You know, they've got the money in their pocket. They won't mind giving up a little bit of it to get insurance as their veteran quarterback. I mean, to identify the Browns as the team and to get that pick says a lot about how many picks the Browns had and how willing they were to use him, and the Bills identifying that would be the team to take.
We always talk about how the personnel staff and Brandon Bean and the rest of the scouts and all of those guys, even Coach McDermott, they're doing so much work every day.
Yeah.
You see them around. Well, they're working out, but they're also in the meeting rooms. They're working. And they're identifying, okay, which teams have the most capital? And where are these draft picks? You know, and then they self-scout first. Then they identify that. Then they identify what guys they want. You know, guys that they might want to trade for or something like that, as the trades have now become a big thing in the NFL or free agency or the draft. You know, and now we've gone through the combine, and I'm sure they have their guys that they've interviewed in terms of quarterbacks, the entire league, that they've interviewed and that they really like, and they say, okay, all right, the Browns have a lot of draft capital right now, and so where are their picks? First pick in the third round, that is a good pick. Let's see if they'll give it up for Tyrod Taylor. You know, they need a quarterback. They've been trying to get a quarterback for a while. There's always talks of, well, they need a bridge quarterback. They're going to take a quarterback first overall, but they still need somebody there, a veteran there, that can really make things happen. So let's call and see if we can make it happen.
You were saying earlier, first thing in the morning, Donald was saying, man, these guys are good negotiators, talking about Brandon Bean.
Yeah.
What if they're good enough to go to Cleveland and say, we want your second-round pick, last pick in the second round? No, we're not giving that up. All right, how about the first pick in the third round?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's good negotiation. We're not giving up a second-rounder, 64 overall. Okay, how about 65? Right? All right, you can have the third rounder.
All right, you can have that one. Yeah,
that's good negotiation right there. Here's a call from Dan in Amherst. Dan, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, two things. One, I think Tyrod's legacy is kind of going to get defined by the fact that he's been arguably the safest quarterback in Bills history against interceptions. And on top of that, I don't think we can really give him credit for getting us out of the drought, because he really didn't do anything this season to win it for us. Don't get me wrong, he did a great job in keeping the ball safe, but he didn't do anything to really warrant us winning and getting there. And last thing really quickly is, I think the reason why Cleveland was willing to make the trade for Tyrod is, can you think of a better quarterback that still has wheels besides maybe Brady to mentor a young quarterback? Because Tyrod really has all of that X factor to really all the off the field stuff of work ethic and the stuff like that.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder how Tyrod will be. That's a really good point, Dan. Thanks. Well, now, Donald, you know, we know Tyrod a little bit, probably as well as anybody in the media anyway.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he would be as a mentor? Is he – here's my question. Is Tyrod ready to kind of shift his approach away from, I got to get this job, I'm the starter here. This is the way he was for 3 years. This is my job. I can't believe they're going to bench me, but I'm not going to make a stink out of it. Is he ready to shift that approach to, we got a young rookie, I got to help him get better someday, maybe next year? I don't know. I don't think he is.
No. I think
he'll compete.
No, he wants to compete.
Yeah.
Nobody goes somewhere. I mean, unless you're a guy who's been a career backup,
right?
Then you're like, all right, I know this, and you get traded or you get picked up by a team that has Tom Brady. You know the deal when you go in.
And he had 4 years as a backup to Flacco, and
right,
and fought it to the point where he came up here.
He came up here and he became a starter for 3 years. So I think he believes that he's a starter, and so yeah, he's going to go in there and fight to get that job. But what Tyrod is good at is, in my opinion, he's good at being able to do both. And, yeah, I'm fighting for this job, but I'll help you out. Not to the point where you're going to take my job, though. But if it does come down to the rookie is just that much better and he takes Tyrod's job from him, then I think at that point Tyrod will have no problem with mentoring him because he is truly a team player.
He is a team player. It'd be interesting to get candid answers from Nathan Peterman on this. I wonder how Tyrod was with Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure he was
they
good.
Got along. It looked good, you know, and he seemed to be supportive when Peterman got that start, two starts actually. But I wonder, you know, in his heart of hearts, what Peterman would say about that.
He didn't have to be.
No.
But that's just the type of person he is. I'm pretty sure he was always good with Nathan Peterman and helping him in any way possible. But let's, you know, you got to be honest about it. Guys are not in the business of, well, I'm going to teach this kid so he can take my spot.
Right.
And so you'll help out, but at the end of the day, you got to watch me because I'm not going to give you everything. For real, because if I give you everything, you just took my spot. And now what? I'm sitting there like, I know I shouldn't have taught that kid all that stuff.
Well, it's more to the point, whoever the Cleveland rookie quarterback is, we assume they'll draft somebody, he would be wise to not ask Tyrod, but to watch Tyrod, don't you think?
Right, right.
How does this guy get ready? When does he show up in the morning? What does he do when the playbook, you know, when the game plan comes out on Tuesday nights? That would be the key. Watch Tyrod, not look to Tyrod to
just
take you by the hand and say,
I mean,
this is what you do.
When you get traded to a place like Cleveland and you've had the career that Tyrod Taylor has had, you know I'm a bridge quarterback right now. I mean, you have to be realistic.
Does he know that? That's my question.
I think he knows that. I think he's gonna say, okay, this is my opportunity to prove that I can still be a starter in this league. So I got a year or two to prove it. While they draft this kid is going to be developing. He's going to watch me and all of that stuff. But this is my opportunity to prove to the Browns or to any other organization that I can get it done in this league. But he knows that he's a bridge quarterback right now. There's no way he's been in this league long enough to understand it. There's no way he can go there and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the starter there for the next 5 years. Because they're going to draft somebody. When they draft somebody that high, they want that kid to play.
Yeah. And now you got me looking. I just double-checked. Tyrod will be 29 years old when the season begins.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks are playing into their mid-30s, a lot of them these days.
Right,
so
right.
He's probably thinking, I could squeeze 5, 6, 7
years
out of this.
Exactly. So
you
if
know,
he goes there
much
and he has a good year, year one, or good 2 years or something like that, and he can improve his passing, then, yeah, he's going to feel like, all right, at that point, I can move on and make something happen.
Got a call here from Aaron in Lockport. Go ahead, Aaron. You're on the air.
How you doing, John?
Good.
I want to say first, I'm a big fan of yours.
Thanks, sir.
But I can't believe you just said Josh Allen. I mean, I wouldn't, by no means am I a GM, I wouldn't draft that guy in the fifth round.
Why is that?
All right, if you look at the scouting reports, they're eerily similar to EJ Manuel. Do you hear this every couple years? It's all, he's a big guy, he's got the size we love, rocket arm. Got some real accuracy issues. I think that speaks to the arrogancy of some coaching. I mean, you can't coach size, so they think they can clean it all up via mechanics, which I think can be done to a very small extent. I mean, I think it's something you have or you don't, and that guy does not have it.
Well, I disagree, Aaron. I looked at video of Josh Allen a lot, and certainly familiar with EJ Manuel. Allen's got some raw ability, like arm strength, basically, and he's got size. And I think it would be worth a look. Not my first choice in this draft, but maybe my second in terms of a quarterback, somewhere in the top 7 to 10. Not my first choice. I'd go Darnold first, but I think that raw ability supersedes EJ. I mean, he's bigger than EJ. He's got a much stronger arm than EJ. That's all. We disagree on that. Donald, do you care to weigh in on any of that?
For me, I've had a chance to speak to Greg Cosell and different experts on this as we had who was the coach that we
Neuheisel.
Had? Neuheisel. We had him on and just talk about can you really improve upon accuracy? You know, does a guy just have it or not have it? And I think they both said you can improve, like, the footwork and different things, lower body mechanics that will help out with accuracy. not sure if you can actually improve accuracy. I think Bill Polian said the same thing, you know. So that's something that, for me, I don't know. At that high, I don't know, because he's just so – and he has a strong arm, and so
– he'll go in the top 10.
He'll go in the top 10, but I'm talking top five. Yeah. I don't know if I would want him at that point. If you got to trade up to 10, to 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range to get him, then I guess I'd be okay with that.
Not really. That's what you're saying.
I guess.
Not really.
And then I just hope that this staff can really improve upon his accuracy.
My second choice, let me repeat. Okay. Darnold would be my number one pick at quarterback for the Bills. Let's hear from you with the Bills quarterback plan. What should it be? And your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor's legacy in his 3 years as a starter. The trade becomes official on Wednesday at 4 p.m. when the league year begins. It was came out last Friday. Tyrod Taylor goes to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for their third-round pick, first pick in the third round. We'll talk more about that when we come back. It is the John Murphy Show. Donald and I here until 3, coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, John Murphy, Donald Jones. It's pretty fun to be here. It was Friday we left here, the last half hour of the show, and I'm saying to everybody, stuff's happening. Stuff's going to happen. It happened, and it's happening around the league. It's kind of a fun time right now. And it's a lot of it has to do with those trades we talked about Friday. Trades rather than waiting for free agency to begin.
It's different because you have so many trades. You know, you're not waiting just for the big contracts to come down. You're seeing a lot of trades. Teams are trading these guys so that they don't have to necessarily break the bank open to get somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a lot different. It's seeming like a trend in this league. And I think it's going to be something that we're going to continue to see over the next few years. It's going to be a more and more trades like the NBA.
We're talking to you about Tyrod Taylor's legacy and about the Bills quarterback plan. What do you think? 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Got a call on the line from Bob in Rochester. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. What I think is going to happen is I believe the Bills are going to trade the first two round picks, the first two in the first round and the third round they got from the Cleveland Browns, back to Cleveland for the fourth overall pick of the draft.
Hmm.
And I think they'll probably either grab Rosen or the kid from USC, Darnold, with that pick. What I would like to see is something entirely different. I'd love to see the Bills sit tight at 21 and 22 and grab Rudolph or Lamar Jackson, whichever one's available, and get a defensive stud with that next pick.
Interesting. Okay. Thanks, Bob.
That would be some real draft day stuff. If they traded him back.
Yeah.
Back to the Cleveland Browns.
Woo! We'll be going crazy.
What? That would be true draft day. Didn't that happen in draft day? Like, didn't they trade it and then they went and got it back or something like
Here's
that?
A question for you about Bob's scenario there. And anything in there, I'm not ruling anything out. Darnold and Ruben, are one of them going to be there at 4?
Darnold and Rosen?
Or Rosen, yeah. Why did I write Ruben?
You think about Ruben Brown?
Yeah, Ruben Brown. Yeah. Rosen and Darnold. One of those guys going to be there at 4? You know how it's laid out. Cleveland number 1, Giants, Colts, Cleveland number 4.
I think
one of them will be.
At 4?
Yeah.
I think they will. Because I think that if the Browns go Saquon Barkley, number one overall, the Giants will trade out of that spot. I think they'll trade back just a little bit because if they're drafting a quarterback to back up Eli Manning, I mean, I think Eli Manning is going to be there the next couple of years. I think they have, you know, other holes that they need to fill, and so they'll just try to trade back a couple of spots. And so that would mean, I would think that, you know, one of those quarterbacks would still be there, depending on who they traded back with. I think one of those guys is going to be there at number four, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Which is why his scenario is appealing. He advocates waiting till 21-22 and settling. I did get a settling, too, for either Mason Rudolph or Lamar Jackson. I don't think those two are they'll be fine. I mean, if you wind up with them, okay, draft them, let them play, see how they are. But I think when you're talking about Rosen, when you're talking about Darnold, to a lesser extent, Josh Allen, and your guy from Oklahoma, I think you're talking about the elite four. Mm-hmm. The other two make up the top six. I don't think Lamar Jackson or Mason Rudolph belong among the top four. And so if they're there at 21-22, okay. But to me, that would be a little bit of a settle.
That would be a settle. I think those guys, Lamar Jackson might end up being in the second round.
Yeah.
He might end up being in the second
Mason
round.
Mason Rudolph so might round up.
He might
second.
Be in the second round, yeah. So, I mean, the top four, obviously, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Baker Mayfield. The rest of those guys are going to be round, I mean, very late in the first round or second round and back.
Yeah. So, John calling from Chickawaga. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay today, I think, yeah. Aren't we? We're doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, better than I thought we would.
My issue with the Tyrod legacy is it's third downs. I feel like he always just tried to ditch it to Shady or use his legs too much when there were guys open that he just didn't see. And I always felt like it was going to be another EJ scenario where he'd get his knee blown out and never be the same.
Hmm. Tyrod was pretty durable when you think about mm-hmm. it. Did he miss two games because of injury, right?
Yeah.
Just two. He missed he had the concussion against
the snow game.
Yeah. He missed that game mm-hmm. after a concussion the week before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then do I have this right? Yeah, December 3rd, he had a concussion against New England, right? End of the game. December 3rd, and then December 10th, missed the Colts game.
Right.
And then he had one other miss. I mean, he was benched at the end of the year. Oh, he missed games 2 years ago, 2015.
Oh, okay,
I
wasn't here.
Yeah, yeah. But pretty durable for a guy who ran the ball a lot, took a lot of hits. So I guess after a while I didn't worry about his missing yeah. games. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
He's been a guy, even though he runs a lot, he's been a guy who either gets down or gets out of bounds. And so for that, yeah, he's been durable. He's not like, you know, a Cam Newton taking big hits or right. an RG3 who took big hits. A lot of these mobile types of quarterbacks, at times they won't get down.
Right.
And you're like, dude, get down. You're going to be mobile. Once you turn into a runner, they're going to smack on you. Yeah. They're going to tee off on you because, I mean, you know, defense, they love the opportunity to hit a quarterback. And you're a runner, which means I can hit you any way I want to hit you as long as you're not sliding. So he's been good at getting out of bounds, getting down, just being smart with his legs.
John's other point about third downs, I guess, yeah. I mean, look, they weren't a good passing offense. They haven't been in the last 2 years in particular. Not a good passing offense. He would settle for the check down, you know, dump it off to Tyrod or yep. somebody else.
Yep.
Instructed to do that a little bit, I think, especially once Kelvin Benjamin got here this year. But just, you know, you don't have to dive too much into the numbers to realize this was not a good passing attack with Tyrod Taylor. Not all his fault. He had receivers missing, didn't have a great core of receivers. He had three different offensive coordinators and different approaches on offense. But he was a part of it and a pretty significant part of a pretty bad passing attack for three straight years.
I think all you got to look at is just how many times they actually threw the ball a game. You know, and that for me showed you that they didn't necessarily have the confidence in him to put the game on his shoulders. Now, if you were late in the game, if you got behind in the game, then you had to throw it a little bit more. But for the most part, they threw the ball one of the least amount of times per season with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback, you know, and that tells you something. It doesn't just tell you, oh, we just love to run the ball. It tells you that we don't necessarily have the utmost confidence in this quarterback to put the game on his shoulders.
Yeah. Squeezing a call here from Ken in Lackawanna. Go ahead, Ken. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Tyrod Jackson, class act. Just
Taylor.
Just a great man, and I'm wishing well in Cleveland. Getting on to the quarterbacks, Donald, I think you've nailed it. I think you've got at least one of the two most accurate passers in Baker Mayfield in there, competitive, very good decision-making. Darnold and Allen, it's just not all there. And I can't see going up too high in the first round to grab a guy who doesn't have great decision making or accuracy. I just can't see it. I would stick with Mayfield and maybe Rosen. And Rosen's a little slight. That's the only thing that bothered me about him. Injury prone, but if he bulks up like Ronnie Jaworski did,
wow.
He could hang around.
Man.
Those two are the most accurate, and from what I've been reading of all the reports, they've got the best decision making skills. And to me, those are two of the most important things a quarterback has to have.
Okay.
He said Jaws.
Yeah, that's going back. Can I reserve the right to change? I mean, right now, today.
Are you going to change it on?
No, not today. I'm on the Darnold bandwagon.
Okay, all right.
But we've got 6.5 weeks until draft day. I got more video. You know why it'll change? I'm looking more video. I'm going to look. I made a point over the weekend to think to myself, I didn't do it because I'm lazy, but thinking, I got to look at more Baker Mayfield. I want to look at more Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I get it. He had a good combine. Everybody said that. I want to see more. That's all. Now
I watched play twice this year, but the game I really liked was the playoff game against the Georgia defense. That I believe Georgia's defense was the number one defense. It might have been number two. It was a top three defense in the country this year, and he was carving them up. I mean, just dropping dimes. And for me, and I watched him play. Now the defense that I saw them play against wasn't a strong defense, but when you just watch his placement, his accuracy, you know, that for me, he is one of the most accurate QBs in this year's draft. But then you add just the fact of his edge, they call it the it factor.
Yeah.
You know, I like that about him.
That's a plus and a minus in some.
It's right. Exactly. It's a plus and a minus. I've had people tweet me and say, oh, well, he's Johnny Manziel part two. I don't know if I can go there. I mean, I understand he had the one issue off the field where he was drunk and they had the video of it with the police and all of that stuff. But for me, you can see the different things that he did on the field and flipping people to bird and all that stuff. And I understand that stuff. He has to clean that up. If you're going to be the face of a franchise, you've got to clean that stuff up. And I'm sure every team out there is like, look, we want you to play with this edge, but you can't do this. You know, and then pull up a picture of him flipping the bird at somebody. You can't do this right here.
No.
This is a no-no. But
switch pictures. This? No.
Yeah, you know, I think he's going to play with that Phillip Rivers type of mentality.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
And for me, if you have the accuracy, and the height is the one thing, but if you have the accuracy and you have that type of mentality, I sign up for that.
You're okay with me maybe leaving the door open? We got 6 weeks. I don't have to make a pick for 6 weeks. A break here. We're back with more. We want to hear from you. What's your quarterback plan for the Bills, and what is Tyrod Taylor's legacy with the Buffalo Bills? Plus, there's a lot going on around the league. It's not all just quarterbacks, Donald. I don't know how many times I got to tell you this.
No.
And Ndamukong Suh on the move from Miami. More of that coming up when we come back. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. Quiet here today, but not so much over the weekend. And on Wednesday, when the league year begins, stuff starts happening. The Bills made a trade with the Cleveland Browns that will become official 4 o'clock on Wednesday. They've sent starting quarterback Tyrod Taylor to Cleveland in exchange for a third-round pick. The Bills making that deal in principle with the Browns. The two sides cannot complete the deal until free agency begins at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Meantime, around the league, the Miami Dolphins are planning to release defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, according to ESPN. The Dolphins could make the move as early as today, but it is likely going to happen on Wednesday. The Dolphins moving on from Suh as they continue their attempt at a culture change. It'll take a big contract off Miami's books. Suh carried a salary cap number of $26 million for the upcoming season. The Kansas City Chiefs are ready to cut defensive end Tamba Hali, according to Adam Schefter. The move, not a surprise. The Chiefs' defense, Hali had 1 year left on his deal, would have cost $9.4 million against the Chiefs' cap. Arizona Cardinals expected to release running back Adrian Peterson today. He's 32 years old. He is owed a $750,000 bonus if he is on the roster on Friday, day 3 of the league year. College basketball, the NCAA tournament this week. Mid-American Conference champions, the UB men's team, will head to Boise, Idaho, a 13 seed. They'll play number 4 seed Arizona in the first round. The game to take place Thursday night, about 9:45 p.m. It'll be carried nationally on CBS. The UB Bulls headed to the Big Dance for the third time in their last 4 years. St. Bonaventure got an at-large bid to the tournament. They'll play UCLA in the first four tomorrow night. The Bonnies, an 11 seed, play UCLA, the Bruins, tomorrow night at Dayton Arena in Dayton, Ohio. That game scheduled for a 9-10 tip-off. The winner advances to play Florida on Thursday in Dallas. The Bonnies with 25 wins this season, the 7th NCAA tournament in program history, 2nd under Coach Mark Schmidt. And the Buffalo Sabres have a scheduled off day. They practice tomorrow, and then they play Thursday night when they resume their 6-game homestand and host the Toronto Maple Leafs at KeyBank Center. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We came in today, and we're talking, I think you, one of the first things you said to me this morning was, what do you think of that deal, Tyrod? Mm-hmm. About the second thing we started talking about was the NCAA tournament, right? It's fun. UB Bulls are in. The Bonnies are in. This doesn't happen often in these parts, Donald. They get two teams from Western New York, two of the big four Western New York teams in the NCAA tournament. It's great. Congratulations to both of them.
Congrats to both of them. I actually watched the UB game.
Me too.
And it was a pretty good game, and I'm excited for them. Both teams are playing against some good Pac-12 teams out there. Obviously, Bonnie's first. They play, what, Wednesday or Thursday?
Tomorrow night? Yeah, first four. Tomorrow night in Dayton.
And Georgia's going?
Our technician,
yeah.
George,
yeah.
He's on the fence, I'm told.
He's on the fence. Oh, okay.
Little does he know, he's got about 10 minutes to make his decision, because if he's not in, somebody's got to work for him. Come on, George.
Come on. I mean,
are
George,
you a Bonaventure fan or not?
Right. I mean, what is going on here? But I'm excited about both schools. And I'm excited I got to do a bracket. I'm excited about doing that and just watching it. I love this time. I don't watch college basketball, which is why it's hard for me to do a bracket. I kind of do it based on, oh, that team is typically good.
Get your money in. We need guys like you. Get your money in. In fact, just give me the money now. Don't bother filling it out.
Oh, this team is pretty good. But I listened. I mean, I did watch the selection show. Even though the sync was off, I watched the entire show.
Yeah.
And
those guys, by the way, they don't know a whole lot more than you or me.
Oh, man.
They really don't.
I thought I was listening to something.
No. Are you kidding me? Man. Barkley, what does he know about college basketball?
Well, no. So did I watch that? I mean, I watched that one, but I watched ESPN as well.
Yeah,
as they were talking about upsets like Jay Billis.
He knows what he's talking.
Yeah, I was watching him as he was talking about this is an upset game, all of that stuff. I was watching this morning. I pay attention a little bit, but this is exciting times because these guys are still kids playing. They're playing in a big moment, and so teams that you think will end up winning will end up losing on some buzzer beater. I love to see it. This is best.
Me
this
too.
Is good.
My Michigan Wolverines got a great draw, I think.
We had to bring this up, the Michigan Wolverines.
They're a 3 seed, which is great. They're going out west to Wichita. I'm going to play Montana. I'm sure it won't be easy, but I just like the setup for them. Nice, quiet.
Now, who's the 1 seed in?
I don't know. You going to make me look that up?
I mean, this is your Michigan team. When you're typically
well, I don't have it memorized
not the
yet.
1 seed. You typically will look at, all right, my team is in this region. Who's the 1 seed? Oh, man, they got to play against them to get all the way.
I'm going
to
look it up for you now.
All right, thank you.
The tournament's coming up Thursday. I think there's a party here Friday, right?
I mean, who knows? We don't get the party.
I think that one's right around the corner here Friday.
We still don't get the party.
We're talking about Tyrod today. Your thoughts, Tyrod Taylor, the trade announced or leaked out on Friday. It'll be made official on Wednesday. Your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor's legacy. What do you think? You can give us a call, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can weigh in on Twitter, on our Twitter poll. Our Twitter poll, what is the most important thing about Tyrod Taylor's legacy? What do you think it'll be? On Twitter, we've had good responses so far. More than two-thirds of you, 66%, say Tyrod was the quarterback when they ended the playoff drought. Yep, you're right. 20% say Bills needed more production from Tyrod Taylor. You're right, too. 7% say he never was a right fit in this system. 5% say something else. What do you think? How will you remember Tyrod Taylor? I guess that's kind of what we're asking you.
Yeah.
How would you remember him?
Just back to basketball real quick. I know we're talking about football. But, yeah, you guys are Xavier's in the 1 seed in that region. So
it's the West, right?
Yeah, it's the West. You got North Carolina in there, and yeah, you guys did actually get a good
I think so
bracket to be in, a good region to be in.
I think so.
So are you now buying your tickets to San Antonio?
No, I know people who are getting airfare and hotels ready for San Antonio. I'm a little bit more conservative and, quite frankly, cheaper than that.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to end up spending more. So
a little bit. If they have, they got to beat four good teams, even Montana, to get to San Antonio.
Yeah, they could lose.
This is why the tournament is great. Mm-hmm. There's only good teams left playing now. There's only good teams left playing.
Right.
UB, Bonnies, these are all teams with formulas to win, successful seasons. Only good teams left. So to say this team's in the Final Four, I think it's a little hard. I do. Tyrod Taylor's legacy, what do you think? 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. You know how it goes on this show, Donna. We can talk about quarterbacks all day, and we will. Mm-hmm. But there's other stuff going on around the league. I want to get your take on this. The Dolphins getting ready to release Ndamukong Suh. Could happen Wednesday, might happen today. Ndamukong Suh, big money guy. Cap number of $26 million for the upcoming season, a base salary of $17 million. If Sue is designated as a post-June 1st cut, the team would save $17 million against the cap. 31 years old, signed a six-year, $114 million deal with the Dolphins in 2015, coming over from Detroit. Just one Pro Bowl for Sue over the last three seasons. He's never had more than six sacks in a season, which I don't know if you look for him for sacks. But big money for Ndamukong Suh. And I think a couple of years later, 15, 16, 17, 3 years later, the Dolphins are probably saying, we didn't quite get what we thought we were getting with Ndamukong Suh.
And I know we brought this up earlier, and it was about these big-name defensive linemen that get these contracts. Now, Ndamukong Suh, in terms of sacks, yeah, you're not going to get that big, big number from him because he's a D-tackle. What he is a guy who can really stuff the run.
Yeah.
He's a big man up there in the middle. And so I think that's something that he still has when teams, whoever signs him, when you are playing against him, you're like, man, you got that dude up in the middle? I mean, you got to double team him. You can't just leave him one-on-one. So that's something that you have to think about.
Was he a game changer, though?
But I don't know if he was a game changer.
I don't think he was.
On that defensive line. I think Cameron Wake is a game changer for them, really the game changer for them down there in terms of that defensive line. And so when you look at Ndamukong Suh, could you say that guy put it in cruise control once he got that big contract? And then so you talk about, as I begin to talk about these defensive linemen, when you think about Sue, you think about Albert Haynesworth when, you know, the Redskins gave him that big deal. Even to Marcell Dareus, who people say, you know, he just did not perform up to that number that the Bills gave him. There was one more that we were talking about. Guys,
D-line?
Yeah, D-linemen that do not perform when they get these big contracts. I don't know what it is about that defensive tackle position, but these guys have just been going in cruise control. And they get some big contracts. You're talking about $100 million contracts that all of these guys got, but just did not produce to that number.
Here's a guy who I do think has produced, and he's different. He's 34 years old. The news comes today that the Chiefs are ready to release Tamba Hali, five-time Pro Bowl performer, over 12 seasons with Kansas City, comes out of Penn State. They'll save $7 million on the salary cap. Tamba Hali is going to be cut by Kansas City, according to Adam Schefter. He had 1 year left on his deal. He would have cost $9.4 million against the Chiefs cap this year. The Chiefs will save $7.7 million. First-round pick in 2006. Five consecutive Pro Bowls from 2011 to 2015. Defensive end, not tackle. You're talking about tackles. But Tamba Hali is a guy who I think lived up to his contract
and was
a big-time player for the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's a big-time player for them. And, you know, that's the thing about that Chiefs defense. They're getting older. You know, they had him. They had Justin Houston out there. I mean, they just – and a lot of these teams are just getting older, and so they're cutting these big-name guys. And it sucks for those guys. They'll end up somewhere else. But Tamba Hali has been a guy who's been consistent and produced for them out there, even when Houston was down. Justin Houston, I'm talking about, when he was down, when other guys in that defense have been down, Hali has been the guy that's been really consistent for them.
And we want to talk about some of the other deals going around in the NFL, not just about the Bills and their quarterbacks. And there's this one, Donald, which came about over the weekend. Richard Sherman making the move from Seattle to San Francisco, which seems like you were talking about New England for him last year. Mm-hmm. But this seems like a good move. And he said he likes the fact that he's going to go up against the Seahawks twice a season. He said that played a part in his decision. A three-year contract announced by the team yesterday, terms not disclosed, incentive-laden deal that could be worth up to $39 million. Sherman did the deal himself.
He did the deal himself.
His quote, "I don't think any agent in the business could have done a better job of negotiating the contract. As long as I'm content with what I'm making, nothing else matters to me." No agent? Is that what we're to believe here? No, he had to have somebody look at it,
He had a lawyer look at it. But he doesn't have an actual agent. in the room negotiating for him. And
what do you think of that?
Russell Okung did the same thing, and he ended up getting a pretty good deal. Look, if you're satisfied with the deal, then fine. I'm sure.
What are you saving? 7%?
Typically 3.
3%?
Typically
okay.
3. Now, for me, in terms of guys not having agents, if you're satisfied with the deal that you got and you're satisfied that you actually negotiated that deal, then, you know, I wish all the best for you. And people have talked about his contract as incentive-based. Look, you're betting on yourself. He's betting on himself. He's coming off of an injury where you just don't know if he's going to be the same player. And so he's probably like, look, I'll go out there and prove it every single week. Now, he went to Stanford. He's from California. So I'm sure he's happy to be back in his home state. He gets to play against the Seahawks, the team that let him go twice a year. So all of those different things really played a part in that. Guys not having agents. My opinion is that you probably should have an agent. Now, if you can work that out in different ways where – because nobody says that you have to have an agent. The NFL, you know, you don't have to have an agent. But for me, look, go work something out with an agent where it's like, look, I need you to work this contract for me. I'm not paying you 3% through the lifetime of this contract. I'll give you a bonus for negotiating the contract for me. That's all you're going to get because you negotiated the contract for me. But I'm not going to continuously pay you 3% before taxes for the next 5 years of this contract. For what? No, I'll give you a bonus and that's all you get. You know, for me, you can do something like that. If you're Richard Sherman, you can do something like that. Or you take 1% of my contract. And that's what especially these young rookies don't understand, that they can negotiate that. Agents will come to you and say, look, we take 3%. And it's league-wide. This is what, you know, league standards. We take 3%. And as a young rookie, you don't know that you can actually negotiate it down and say, no, you can take 1% of my contract. You can take 0.5% of my contract. Agents are not going to tell you that because it's business. And they know you probably don't know that you can do that. And so you end up giving away 3% of your contract, especially on your rookie deal, when what is it? I mean, it's a scale. If you get drafted number one overall, this is what you're going to get paid. He didn't negotiate anything. You were in the slot.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't negotiate. He's just sitting there taking 3% of your contract before taxes every single time, just sitting back. And once you get 10 of those guys, 10 first-rounders, man, you got money coming in the bank.
Now, tell us practically. I don't want to get bogged down in this, but practically, doesn't it work like you would sign with an agent before you're drafted, before you even get to the table? You would sign with an agent as soon as your college eligibility ends to get involved in training centers and before you go to combines and all-star games, right? So that's when agents are signed. Don't know any better at that point.
Exactly. That's when guys don't know any better. And you're a guy like Saquon Barkley, you know you're going to be a top five pick. So you know you're going to end up getting paid. Every agent is lining up. They're all calling you, trying to get you. But when you're a guy like I was, who I had a fourth-round grade, I ended up not getting drafted, but I needed an agent to really work for me because –
to find you a job.
Right, to find me a job and talk to different teams. And my agents actually got me in the Senior Bowl. They called down there and got me into the Senior Bowl and worked some things out. But when you're these top first-round guys, I mean, you know, what do you need the agent for? You don't, really, because you're going to get drafted somewhere and you're going to make that money. Then you know you're going to end up getting a Nike deal or something like that.
Yeah.
And so all you need is a lawyer. Go ahead, negotiate that Nike deal for me, where now you have an agent that's taking 3% of your contract. You have that agent is taking 15 to 20% of your Nike deal, which you know, or Under Armour or Adidas or whatever it is, which you know is going to come anyway. He's going to take 15 to 20% of all endorsements, all trading cards that you're signing, everything. And you're like, yo, I was going to get this stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So you're just sitting back collecting money. So for me, if you're a veteran, you probably need somebody because your second contract is a little bit different than that rookie contract. A second contract, I mean, there are so many different things in there that they can put in there to really get you out of some good money. But that rookie deal, you're going to get what you get because you got drafted in that slot.
Richard Sherman got his own deal with San Francisco yesterday, signed a 3-year deal with the Niners, did it by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're talking about Tyrod Taylor, what his legacy might be in Buffalo. Want to hear from you on that, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
Speaking of things around the league a little bit,
yes,
we were talking about Ndamukong Suh and Lawrence Timmons. Is another guy. what's going on down there in Miami?
Yeah.
They've been getting rid of some guys with Jarvis Landry, Ndamukong Suh, Lawrence Timmons, guys that are
– Jay Ajayi last year.
Yeah, Jay Ajayi. I mean, these guys are – they have the personalities. I get that. But at the same time, they're some good players for you.
Well, Timmons, I think, was done. I mean, he was on fumes, I thought, last year. By the time the Bills saw him in December. Suh, we just talked about it, really didn't live up to the money, right? Mm-hmm. One Pro Bowl appearance in 3 years mm-hmm. there. Ajayi was a handful. The interesting thing about Miami to me, first of all, the quarterback. I guess they have their quarterback, I guess.
Yes.
Number two, Adam Gase gets a chance to reset. Many coaches don't get that chance. They're talking about culture change now. Yeah. Let's get rid of Jay Ajayi. Let's get rid of Ndamukong Suh. Let's get rid of Jarvis Landry. So we get rid of some, I won't call them bad guys, but questionable character
mm-hmm,
guys.
Mm-hmm.
How does Adam Gase get a chance to do that? Why? Because he made the playoffs in his first year?
Probably.
Did he earn that much? Now, he's getting a chance to reset. Why didn't he identify these bad actors 2 years ago when he first got in there, 2-3 years ago? I'm not a big fan of Adam Gase. We've talked about this. Watching him coach a game, Adam Gase, just watching his offensive play sheet, watching the call sheet. Doesn't even watch the game. Not a big fan.
I'm not a fan either. I think we had a chance to speak to a couple of reporters from down there in Miami, and they talked about how he's a little bit younger and he could connect with those players. It was totally different than this year than the first year.
He didn't connect with Landry, Ajayi, Suh.
Right. And so they were and those reporters were saying, man, things are just a little bit different because he's younger. He's connecting with these guys. I just think they went on a run. And because they went on that run, everything seemed well. Everything seemed right. This year really showed that things weren't right down there. They didn't go on the same run. They had a good game, then a horrible game, then another horrible game.
Right.
The season started out bad, and that was what really showed down there in Miami. Their season started out bad, out of their control. Different things that they were dealing with is they had to, they had a bunch of away games off the bat.
Right,
they had
the hurricane.
The first week of the season they didn't play because of the hurricane.
Right.
And so it was like things just started to fall apart right away. He was never able to get that thing back.
And it didn't get better, Donald. Look at – I know last game of the year doesn't mean a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were a joke against the Bills on New Year's Eve down there. Getting in fights, that ugly incident down on the goal line.
Yeah,
Jarvis Landry, they were a bad team that was just out of character, just totally out of sorts in that finale against the Bills.
It's crazy.
That was an easy game, quite frankly, an easy game for the Bills to win because the Dolphins were so disinterested and so disorganized.
At home.
And that's Adam Gase. That's his
Adam
team.
Exactly. But because he made the playoffs the first year, I guess that bought him a couple years to get things right. And we'll see. If he has another season this year like he did last year, they'll probably get rid of him.
A couple of tweets on, I guess this is on, different things. A lot of it on Tyrod Taylor. I had a good one here. I'm going to find it. Vince Guarino tweets, and we're talking about Tyrod's legacy. Tyrod will be known as a one-dimensional quarterback. Got to love the first pick in the third round for him. I agree with Donald Jones. I want Baker Mayfield.
Mm.
Okay. And there was another interesting tweet here. Drew Townsend. NFL report says the Bills are interested in Sam Bradford. Well, yeah. They're going to be interested in a lot of these free agents. Sam Bradford, sure. Right?
Yeah.
They might even be on the phone with Bradford's agent today saying, what are you looking at? What's it going to take? Did that surprise you?
It doesn't.
They should be on the phone.
They should be on the phone with everybody.
Most of those guys.
Yeah.
What are you
on the phone
for?
With everybody.
Yeah.
What are you looking for? At least, the very least, what are you looking for in terms of money? What are you trying to get paid? This is
right.
And once that agent comes back and says, because if you're an agent, you should know what every team's budget is. But you also know what your player is trying to get paid.
Yeah.
And so if you're the team, look, what are you trying to get paid? Oh, you want that number? Nah, sorry.
Yeah.
Hang up on them. Don't even say
maybe
goodbye.
We'll call you next week. Let's take a call from Brad in Rochester. Go ahead, Brad. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I definitely don't want Sam Bradford. He's hurt all the time. I like Donald's idea the best, the Josh McCown, bring him in. And I would like to get Baker Mayfield also.
I had Josh McCown.
Hey, I'll take that, Brad. Thank you.
But any of the top four quarterbacks I would go for, but I would like to bring in Josh McCown. It's going to cost less money than Bradford. Plus, he could stay healthy, it seems, more than Bradford. Also, if I had a choice, I would want Mayfield for all the reasons Donald said earlier. But my question is this. Before the combine, before you guys went down there, it seemed like you guys were leaning towards more being cautious about moving up to get one of these quarterbacks. Like when a caller would call and say, go broke, get whatever you got to do to go up and get one of these guys. You're really cautious about, they might not turn out, it could be a bust and the percentages and all this. But since you came back from the combine, it seems like you've kind of changed your tune a little bit. And I was wondering what happened down there.
Yeah.
Down there watching him throw. Like, what did you see that made you?
That's a good observation. Yeah. I did. I have changed. I didn't. We've talked about a couple of shows before the combine. Brad is right about how, well, maybe the Bills will just stand pat and wait. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't even the combine. I mean, I watched the combine throws, no big deal. But I've watched more video, mm-hmm. and like what I see from Darnold and Josh Rosen and Josh Allen and some mm-hmm. of the others, Baker Mayfield, there's that. The Bills have that third-round pick. Now, that's big. Now you got six in the first 96. You know, it's like we didn't have money almost. I did not want to see the Bills use all of their draft, their premium draft picks, to move up and get a quarterback. Now, with that extra pick, it's a little bit different. They could probably move up, get a premium quarterback, and still have some picks to use. So that's what changed for me. I don't want to speak for you,
I mean,
Donald.
How great would it be, though, if that caller in one of our last segments called in and was like, yeah, I think they're going to trade the first two first-round picks and that third-round pick back to the Browns.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that would be like, wow. I mean, that was a movie. You can't make this up.
And you know what else? And it's a good call. It's a good question, Brad. Stuff changes. Stuff might change between now and draft day, too, as a matter of fact. That's why I said to Donald, I'm talking Darnold today. I got 6.5 weeks until the names start coming off the board. It might change because the free agency might change the outlook. Who's
exactly.
got whom?
Exactly.
Who do the Bills have? Stuff changes.
I'm telling you.
And by the way, not just with us. Don't you think, Donald, you've been around upstairs in the football department up here, in the personnel department, more than anything else, right now I'm thinking they value flexibility, adaptability.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to be out there? Who's signing who in free agency? What they have their reports on quarterbacks. They're going to do more work on quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
the rookies. You know what I mean? I think more than anything else, flexibility and adaptability is number one on their
list
up there.
They might go out here in free agency and pick up one of these big-name defensive tackles. And we're all saying, look, you need to get some defensive tackle help, some up front, up front in the seven up front. You need to get some help there. They might sign a big-name linebacker. They might sign a D-tackle where you're like, all right, I guess you don't need that in the first round.
And, oh, by the way, they have their own. What do they got, 19 of their own free agents?
That they have to figure out what's going on with those
guys.
Some
big-name guys, Preston Brown, Kyle Washington, E.J. Gaines.
Kyle Williams.
Yeah. Kyle Washington. E.J. Gaines is still,
He's still there. Still there.
Probably taking calls. His agent probably taking calls today. So there are a lot of moves to be made. That's why stuff changed. And, Brad, I think stuff's going to change again as far as our perception.
Mm-hmm.
And, quite frankly, I think what they're doing over there in the personnel department.
The thing is, I mean, I think they have the flexibility and adaptability up there. But I think they have a plan, you know. And we change a lot, but I think they have a plan. They have their guys that they really like and guys that they want to go after. Now, they can adapt if somebody else gets that guy, but they have their plan in place. This is what we want to do. When they made that move on Friday, they're probably already thinking, all right, now we got this. This is what we want to do in free agency. This is where we want to go in the draft.
A couple moves ahead, sure.
Exactly, a couple moves ahead.
But there's no guarantee that they'll be able to do all that.
Exactly.
Nothing, you know. Chances are things won't fall their way, which is why they're adaptable, and we are too. Here's a call from Steve in Medina, New York. Hello, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just want to chime in on Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I guess what I think about him is maybe best presented by some analysis that that Donald did after the Raiders game on a couple of plays, which were successful plays, but they were supposed to go differently. And one of the plays was a touchdown pass to Andre Holmes. He was initially going to be, I think, just a simple down and in the back of the end zone. And when he made his break on about a 1-2 count, he was open, and the ball should have been there then. He had beaten his man. I think even the defensive back might have fallen down. But, you know, Tyrod did his signature panorama and got out of a jam, and Holmes, to his credit, kept running, and Tyrod ended up throwing a very nice pass for a touchdown. And then the play was the Brandon Tate play, which everybody knows about. As Donald Heaney pointed out, the beginning of that play had Nick O'Leary on the left side doing a simple end pattern. He had a linebacker on him, and he was, again, open right on his break. You could see him turn around and look at Tyrod. His eyes were as big as saucers, like, hey, I'm open. But, again, Tyrod either couldn't or simply wouldn't throw the ball.
and he did the spin around thing and ended up finding Brandon Tate for that second and 24 play that, you know, all the players were jumping around in jubilation about.
Mm-hmm.
And, but those are two plays that should have gone one way, went differently, and were successful, but the plays weren't run the way they were designed.
Right.
And it's kind of the yin and the yang of Tyrod Taylor, and he's got a lot of talent, and he hasn't reached his ceiling yet, if he can overcome that, but he kind of is his own worst enemy.
Interesting.
Right.
He may have reached his ceiling. In fact, to me, when we're talking a little bit today about Tyrod's legacy, Donald, what makes it, you know, there are a couple of people around the country, not necessarily Bills followers, saying, how could the Bills do that? He led them to the playoffs. To me, if you've watched the Bills and you watched Tyrod in the last 3 years, you're thinking, okay, that's as good as Tyrod is. Mm-hmm. That's the ceiling. I disagree with Steve on that. He may have topped out, and we may have seen the best that he has to give. Maybe not. Maybe he'll get better.
I think the best that Tyrod has is what we saw in 2015. If he can have a receiver, whether it's Gordon, whether it's Jarvis Landry, if both of those guys are healthy out there, and let's just say they do draft Saquon Barkley, and Tyrod is the starter, you can actually see him flourish with those weapons in that offense, with those guys, because both of those guys are very good receivers. He has a guy underneath, and he has Gordon who can go over the top a little bit, a very good receiver over the top. Not a speed, like not a burner, but he just knows how to play the position and get down the field. You can see Tyrod Taylor probably a little bit better than he was here.
Maybe.
And that really goes to the argument of he didn't have his guys. He didn't have his receivers here. And I get that. And there might be a little bit difference if he has his guys an entire offseason and he can play with those guys once you get into the season. But I think for the most part, we know who Tyrod Taylor is, what he is as a player on the field. You know that he wants to use his legs. He's not a guy who's a rhythm type of passer, on time, pulling the trigger, you know, in tight windows and different things like that. But maybe you do see him get back to that 2015 season with those weapons healthy on the field the entire season.
Maybe. Maybe it'll happen for him. I hope it does.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we haven't talked much about Kirk Cousins today, Donald. He has a blog, and Cousins with a post today, and I'll just read you part of it. It says, as I'm about to make one of the bigger decisions of my life, I'll be saying goodbye to my familiar life as a Redskin. After calling Washington home for the last 6 years, the team has decided to move on to another option, and I will be moving as well. Thank the Washington fans. There's no way, he writes, I'd be where I am today without the leadership of the Redskin organization. Coach Gruden, Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder, thank you for all the opportunity you gave me. When Cooper, his son, I assume, when Cooper someday asks, hey, Dad, what was it like playing for the Redskins? I'll proudly tell him it was a dream come true. Cousins getting ready to move. I'm surprised there haven't been rumors yet, really, about big money offers extended to Kirk Cousins. It's coming in the next 48 hours.
Bleacher Report tweeted out this morning that there were two teams ready to give him fully guaranteed contract. We heard the $3 million right. Fully guaranteed over 3 years.
Right.
So we'll see if that's true. But I know over the next couple of days, we're going to see some big numbers come out on Kirk Cousins and how much he's getting. And I'm sure teams are on the phone with his agent right now. Look, we're willing to give you this guaranteed. We're willing to give you this. And we had Chris Cooley on last week, and he said it's not all about the money for Kirk Cousins. It ain't all about the money, but let me tell you something. It's a lot to do with it.
I knew you'd get there.
It's a lot to do with it.
I knew you'd get there. Hey, what do you think Tyrod Taylor's legacy in Buffalo, and what's the next step, or what's your overall quarterback plan for the Buffalo Bills? We'll talk about that when we come back. You can give us a call at 803-0550. We're toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Plus, NFL, true or false, that's coming up as well. Come on back. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy, Donald Jones. It is the opening of NFL free agency, the contact period anyway, the legal tampering period. Wednesday at 4 is when free agency actually begins. League year begins. Donald Jones has a football in his hands here. He had a hockey portion of a hockey stick earlier. What happened to the hockey stick?
I just like different props, you know. I'm going to get back to hockey, though.
This is good.
This is good. This is a new ball, though.
It's brand
new. It's not really – I think, to be honest with you, it's a little bit flat. And I think this is the size of the ball that Brady was using. You can really squeeze this ball. You know?
Hey, what do you think of this? We were talking during the break about how, yes, it's tampering is legal now. There's not a whole lot going on. We talked about some of the issues. Ndamukong Suh, Adrian Peterson, et cetera. Tom Pelissero, NFL reporter, says the Bucs, Tampa Bay, have re-signed tight end Cameron Brate. 6-year, $41 million deal that includes $18 million in guarantees. He's a pretty good player. That's a lot of money.
He is a good player.
Now, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and it's
a 6-year
deal. Does
that mean Jimmy Graham's not going back there? Oh, no, that's Bucks.
That's the Bucks. Yeah, no.
Jimmy Graham reportedly going back to the Saints.
But Cameron Brate was, you know, he was – everybody talked about O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
And going into that game when the Bills were about to play the Bucks, we were like, man, there's another guy, though,
yeah,
that you really need to watch out for, and that's Cameron Brate. And he's a really good player for them. A 6-year deal is a long deal. I'm surprised he went for 6 years. That's a long deal. I mean, guys typically – I understand you want the big numbers and all of that stuff, but that locks you in for 6 years. Now, he probably won't end up making all of that because they did draft O.J. Howard for a reason, but I think it tells you that they want to use both those tight ends.
Here's a call from Dennis in Buffalo talking about Tyrod Taylor's legacy and about the Bills quarterback plans. Dennis, what do you got?
Well, I hope that the Bills' brain trust don't franchise all their – great draft capital, and especially they got rid of Tyrod Taylor. That's a great move. Okay, they could use us as bartering power to move up to get the top. That would be extra icing on the cake. But Peterman, who's talking about Peterman? Peterman outshone Tyrod many days in practice, and he's supposed to be the next step, the most NFL-ready quarterback in the draft. Last year, the podcast stations were saying, Darnold and Rosen are also NFL-ready quarterbacks. But I'm just concerned that if who's going to take over the job, okay, if Darnold gets drafted by the Bills, what's going to happen to Peterman? He's going to sit? I'm just concerned about the Bills wasting all their capital to move up when they could get a 3 starters on offense, 3 starters on defense, build around Peterson. They should sign a free agent quarterback and let Peterman play. I mean, the guy has got great ability.
Yeah, you know, Dennis, you make a good point. I mentioned Peterman. I'd like to see him involved in a quarterback competition along with a free agent, a veteran free agent, and a rookie. But I haven't written him off. No, I think he has something to say about who's going to be the quarterback here.
I think he has something to say unless they trade all the way up to the top, whatever, to take a quarterback. I think if they trade up, realistically, it's going to be a competition between that free agent and that draft pick, that high first-round draft picks. And it's really going to be a tough situation for Nathan Peterman. Not to say that they've totally forgotten about Nathan Peterman. If he's, you know, and for the most part, you want to think, well, the best guy is going to be on the field. But realistically, if you trade all the way up to get a first-round guy, it's because you truly love that guy. And if you pay some money for a free agent, it's because you feel like he's ready to go right now if that rookie is not ready to go. So it's a tough situation that Nathan Peterman is in
It's a better situation for him today than it was Thursday.
Especially now with Tyrod gone.
Yeah.
But you just got to – if you're Nathan Peterman, you're sitting back and you're waiting now because you're like, all right, I know somebody's going to be here.
Somebody's coming, yeah.
Is it going to be –
get ready to compete, Nathan.
Right. And that's really all you can ask for. But I think realistically it's going to be if they trade up a high first-round pick and the veteran. If they sit at 21, 22 and draft somebody there, then Nathan Peterman is like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. Now I really got an opportunity to step in there and play.
Here's a call from Jim in Rochester. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the air with us. Hi. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Murph. Donald, how are you?
We're good.
What up, good?
Quickly on Tyrod. Professional leader, professional all the way around. Just couldn't pull the trigger. That's the only thing. I loved him, but he drove me nuts not being able to pull the trigger, you know. As far as the quarterback thing goes, I like what you guys got. I like McCown. I like McCown even after he's done playing to maybe help the guy we're going to draft. What I think they should do is potentially sign McCown, and then in the draft, look at the Giants. You got a potential partner there with Gettleman. We know they need offensive line, so I would go see if they can maybe take Cordy, and that might lessen the amount of picks we got to give them. And that's pretty much the point.
I like the way you're thinking, Jim, and I do think, look, the it struck home to me again Friday night. These guys, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, this group, they are bold. They are not afraid to make moves. And so every time you think, and this goes back to an earlier caller said, why'd you guys change your mind? Because, again, I'm reminded how these guys will make bold moves. It hit me again Friday night. Like, man, these guys, they don't just sit tight.
They're not. And for the most part, they've been – I mean, just think about it. They traded Tyrod. Nobody thought they'd get an early third-round pick, like early first pick in the third round. You didn't think that. At least I didn't. I thought it was fourth, fifth, sixth round, somewhere in that range.
Last time, I never thought they'd be able to get anything for – find a partner for Marcell Dareus. Never thought they'd be able to do that.
Right. The trade for Sammy, to get Sammy Watkins out of here, you get some draft capital, you get and Ronald Darby gone, you bring in Jordan Matthews and EJ Gaines. Yeah. Now Jordan Matthews, he got hurt, went on IR, but he had some good games for you and helped you win some games this year. And then EJ Gaines, we all know what EJ Gaines did this year. And so, you know, for the most part, these trades and moves that they've made, even though originally or initially you're like, man, what'd they just do? They traded away that person, talent. I mean, geez, they're trading away all of the talent on the team. They're getting back draft capital, and they've gotten some good players in return. So I think you really just got to trust them. And I think they are sticking to their plan. Even though they're going after guys, they're showing that they're, you know, they can adapt. But they're, for the most part, sticking to their plan.
I was talking to my brother who's going to the hockey game Saturday, Sabres. Okay. And he's a season ticket holder, Sabres season ticket holder. And and we were talking about the Tyrod deal on the phone. He's in the atrium or whatever of KeyBank Center. Mm-hmm. And he's a season ticket holder here, too, at the Bills. He said it's just such a difference where you have the Bills franchise where, I like Tyrod and I like what he did, but they got a plan. And he said, and you got this hockey team where you don't know what it is. You can't see a plan if there is one. Mm. Big difference. I think fans like to know that you might not agree with everything that Bean and McDermott are going to do, but – they're going to do it. They're going to do their plan. They're going to do something. They're not sitting tight.
They're not sitting tight.
That's why when somebody said, why'd you change your mind? Because these guys change.
They change.
They change all the time.
They got a plan, but they're able to change. If something happens and it's like, oh, let's go after this guy. Like when Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah.
When they tried to get Jeremy Maclin here, it was like, look, we need this. So let's go after it and see if we can get it. Now, if the numbers are not right, we're not going to just jump off the ledge and give this guy whatever he wants. Now, I don't know if that's what happened or not and how come he didn't end up here, but at least you know they were in on him. They ended up bringing in Kelvin Benjamin.
I was just going to say, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that either. Right.
Right? It was Halloween, Kelvin Benjamin came in. Trade deadline day. Nobody even mentioned it. Nobody talked about that.
It was just like the random thing, like, oh,
what?
We just got Kelvin Benjamin? All right, cool.
Rob in Tonawanda, you're on the air with us, Rob. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I know you're low on time, but it's almost 3 o'clock. But I got three real quick suggestions, comments. I think they definitely should sign AJ McCarron. I think he's only 27, 28, and then we draft our quarterback. Definitely don't give up on Peterman. I think this kid's got talent. I know he had that one bad game last year, and everybody's, oh, no, no. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. You give him the chance. And my last comment is, John, I think it's an absolute travesty that you didn't win an Oscar years ago for Bruce Almighty. That's it.
Me too. I was telling somebody about Bruce Almighty the other day. They didn't believe me. I had one line in a bona fide Hollywood blockbuster. Right. I don't know if it was Oscar worthy.
I mean, you should have got some more movies out of that. You didn't have your agent in place? What's
I'm
up?
Looking at scripts still.
You are here with no agent like Richard Sherman.
Yeah, I want to make my own deals. Thanks. NFL, true or false, we got to play this, Donald, and it's brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York Artisan Cheese. We have to do it today because I really like this topic. True or false? This is based on an article by our buddy Sam Farmer from the Los Angeles Times, great NFL writer. True or false, younger general managers are the reason for a more active trade market. Remember how we talked last Friday about how trades were happening in the advance of free agency. Mm-hmm. Sam Farmer wrote about this. Remember Sam? Good guy. Let me read you one part of this. Several factors help explain the uptick in trade activity. Most of old guard general managers are gone, and the business is dominated by younger, often more aggressive executives who are more willing to make bold moves to change the course of an organization. He also points out, and you can appreciate this, Les Snead, Rams GM, said the ability to text is huge. You're not ever going to group text, but you can get an idea to 10 or 15 GMs in less than 2 minutes. He went on to say, communicating with 31 other GMs would take 10 minutes these days. I don't even know if you could have gotten that done 3 days before texting. He says communication and younger GMs is the reason why we have so many trades in the NFL. That I'd say true, absolutely true.
Oh, yeah. I'm going true on this one. And you're going to see a lot more young GMs getting these opportunities. And if you have older GMs, they better be ready to adapt. Because if you're not ready to adapt and you're just the old school model of, yeah, we're just going to sit back and go through free agency and all of that stuff, well, your owner is probably going to say, you know what? No. We need to be in on these trades because it's two things. The trades are helping to make these organizations better. And then if you're an owner, the big picture is the trades are exciting. Free agency is exciting. But when you have all of these trades happening before free agency – that's exciting, and it gets more and more people watching. And we all know this thing is a business, and it's about making money and getting as many viewers on the NFL as possible. And so you will start to see a lot more young GMs, and you're going to continue to see this trend of trades growing. And so, yeah, young GMs are the reason for active trade.
Love marketing. That point made by Sam Farmer. That's all the time we have for NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. More discussion about quarterbacks and about Tyrod Taylor's legacy when we return. The John Murphy Show. Presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Thurman Thomas called in. He wasn't scheduled as a guest. He just called in today. We got Hall of Famers just dialing into the show. Thurman Thomas wanted to weigh in on Tyrod Taylor and his legacy in Buffalo. Here's what Thurman said.
Tyrod did an excellent job for this organization, an excellent job within the community for being just a leader. And I think that right there should be the number one thing of what we should be talking about with Tyrod. He was a leader, man. He went through a lot of different things, especially this past year, being benched and all this, going through these three different offensive coordinators. To me, the guy was a winner. I hate to see him go, but I understand where the Bills are coming from. They want to go in a different direction.
Thurman Thomas on Tyrod Taylor and his legacy. We had Dustin Fox, former Bills defensive back, played 5 years in the NFL at defensive back, now a radio host in Cleveland. Covering the Cleveland Browns. Dustin Fox talked to us about the Browns' trade for Tyrod Taylor and what they have in mind for him.
I don't know that there's a level of excitement for him in terms of long-term prospects, but I think that there are fans, including myself, that are excited that the Browns now have a legitimate starting quarterback on the roster, someone who's won games in the league. And I kind of joked about this on Friday on my show. I said, this is probably like the best quarterback the Browns have had on paper since Tim Couch. I mean, legitimate, and that's kind of crazy because Tyrod's not great, but he's good enough to win games, and I think brings maybe some stability to the franchise at the most important position. So that being said, it's great to have him.
Dustin Fox on the Browns trade for Tyrod Taylor. Our Twitter poll today, what do you think the most important thing about Tyrod's tenure in Buffalo? Pretty clear, two-thirds of you on Twitter said the fact that the Bills ended the playoff drought with Tyrod Taylor. 69% of you say that's the most important thing. 20% say, yeah, but they needed more production from him. 7% say he's just not a right fit in the system. 4% had something else in mind. And Donald, I think just to recap, my take is he was a quarterback when they ended the drought. That's true, and that's meaningful, and that's good on him. To me, I take from him he was a true professional, always ready to play when asked to play. Never caused a problem when things were going bad, and he had a couple of setbacks, being benched being hurt, being held out of a game because of what, a contract thing at the end of 2016. True professional. I wish him well. Wish he would have thrown the ball better, but true professional. I'm glad he was here.
Yeah, I think the first thing you got to look at is the leadership. And he was always a professional. You can never take that away from him. I wish him the best moving forward. I think he's going to be the same person out there. For next, yeah, he was the quarterback that ended the drought. He was at least the quarterback when the drought was ended. But I think ultimately people look at him, they're going to say there was not enough production from the quarterback throwing the ball.
I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants from production assistant George Blass, Jeff Torito, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hamilder, our producer, Jay Harris. Tomorrow, Steve Tasker joins us on the show, plus a lot more quarterback talk. Join us tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We come to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.